back to another exciting episode of the Tiltcast, episode 90.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about a whole lot of DayZ. We'll be talking a little bit about Skyrim and revisiting the realm of Skyrim. You guys are making me laugh. And then, of course, we're going to address the whole Booth Babes thing that's going on with the internets right now. So, yeah. So, anyways, stay tuned. We got a decent-sized episode for you guys.
That's what she said.
Oh my god.
And welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast. This is Trent, and to my right, I have Justin.
Hey, what's up?
And across from me is Holly.
Hello.
And tonight, we are down Vicky. One Vic.
He had to work late, so.
One Vic JJ. He's gone.
You just wanted to save the JJ.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Is that a crime?
I hate that fucking word.
For some people, it's a crime to say vagina. So, if you follow the news. Anyways, so, we're going to go ahead and jump into some stuff really quick. Let's see. Holly?
Yeah.
What you been playing?
The only thing that I've played is Left 4 Dead. Oh, and then I played Minecraft.
Minecraft.
Yeah? What'd you do in Minecraft?
Minecraft, well, that was on Saturday night for our gauntlet, and it was Hyper and his kid, and I went over to our, obviously I was in our Tiltcast one.
Did you guys build a new spot?
I'm kind of in the middle of it. I found this island that I decided I'm going to flatten out, so I spent the entire, like, hour to 2 hours just, like, taking out dirt.
Sounds, what do you do with that much dirt? You just build chests and dump it in there, or...?
No, I threw it in a hole.
Oh, is that what you've been doing with it?
Yeah, because I'm not going to keep it. I'm not going to use it for anything, so...
It disappears after a little while, too, doesn't it? It's a good idea. I never do that.
If you, like, whenever you go to sleep, it doesn't do it then, but... If you, whenever you leave the game and then come back, or if you die or something like that, it goes away.
Hmm.
If you dropped it on purpose.
So you just need to build a hole so that you don't accidentally pick it all back up.
Yeah.
And just start dumping all your dirt in a hole.
And that's what I was doing, because I would just go from point A to point B, point A, point B, and that's just where, you know, like, the island that I was going to take all of the dirt, and then I would just go back whenever it started getting dark to our castle. So, I just found this little thing off to the left, and then just started dumping them down there, so I don't accidentally run into them and pick them
nice.
Up again.
Toxic waste dumping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just dirt.
That's what she does, yeah. You know.
Awesome. So, so you started a new job this week.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, she's working with me.
I am.
Yeah, she's like, sits right outside my office in a little cubicle and browses the internet all day.
Yep.
You enjoying
that,
it?
That's all I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the last hour and a half that I was on, I was looking at Icon Has Cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah.
Just looking at, like, fucking cats.
So I love that pug. Because my ex has... Pugs, and I used to babysit him, and I'd always do this little, oh my god, but with ours, it'd be like, oh my god, you know, whenever I was playing with them. So it's funny when I saw that, because it just reminded me of it. Because I always imagined pugs talk like that, they could talk. So
I do have smashed in faces.
Yeah, but you should see this picture. I'll find it. It's really fucking funny. So,
it's cute.
Yeah. We're actually thinking about taking that one, and I think, what is it? It's a tennis ball. He's like, oh my god, tennis ball. You know? And we're thinking about taking the tennis ball and replacing it with a piece of sushi for one of our clients and put it on their Facebook. So, but anyways, so you're our new social media assistant up there, which is nice.
Yeah.
So, I can't see at an angle when you write shit down. So, yeah, you might want to hand me the piece of fucking paper, you know. So, because your writing sucks.
Writing does suck.
Yeah. Dyslexic over there. Anyways, how's the Fonz doing, by the way?
The Fonz?
Yeah. Henry Winkler's dyslexic. It was a joke. So
oh, gotcha.
Never mind. Anyways, everybody knows. It's like, I wrote backwards. Hey. Yeah, so.
I didn't know that.
Back in the 90s, it was a huge thing. But anyways, so you've been doing that. Anything else?
So whenever he was saying A, he was actually saying hey.
Yeah, it's just backwards. He was just reading the cue cards wrong. They would fuck with him and then write down, yeah. He would say, hey. So, yeah. Sorry, Mr. Winkler. Anyways, Justin, what have you been playing? What have you been doing?
Obviously a lot of Skyrim, and trying to get back into that because Dawnbreaker comes out soon.
I mean, Dawnguard?
Or Dawn, yeah.
We're thinking of Daybreaker, the really shitty movie with Ethan Hawke.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of that. I just got it mixed up. But anyways,
they're both vampires.
They are both vampires. I never actually made it through the game.
Yeah.
Because of my whole account debacle. And I decided this would be a good time as any with the slow release of games this summer. Mm-hmm. The only thing big that's coming out that none of us will probably play is Spec Ops. So,
who knows?
Maybe. I don't know.
Now, if things go really good at work, I might be getting a lot of money and picking up a bunch of frivolous games I would never play.
You know what we really need to pick up? Steel Battalion.
Sorry, I just had to throw that. Yeah, Steel Battalion.
Yeah, because that just came out yesterday.
Yeah, well, Brother in Arms, aren't they bringing out that new one? The Brother in Arms, the one that looked like Inglourious Bastards.
That's been pushed back until after Aliens.
Ah, I saw the new stuff for Aliens, though. Mm-hmm. I am totally psyched. 10+ hours of gameplay for the single player mission.
Speaking of Aliens, I saw Prometheus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Kind of anticlimactic, honestly. Yeah. I didn't care for it.
Me being, like, the alien guru that I am.
Well, and I've always liked Aliens, but that
just... Do you have alien statues?
No, I don't have alien statues. Right.
Do you have the quadrilogy? I don't either. I have the trilogy, because I think part four sucks. So
we had... We did, but we sold them. We sold them.
No, but...
And then he bought them.
In my opinion, it's yeah, from that one dude. Anyway, from my opinion, if it's a boot into a prequel trilogy or a prequel sequel, it's not bad for what it is, because they didn't even go to the right planet. They went to a totally different place, which still doesn't explain anything for the movie Alien. But like, for instance, the fact that the actual alien xenomorph is totally different than what you're running into here, so they need to explain how the egg sacs evolved into what they are.
Well, maybe they're going to do another one.
That's what I'm saying. If it's a kickoff for a starter film, then yeah, I'm totally down with it.
If that's the case, then... I appreciate the movie a lot more, but I don't know. Whenever I saw it, it held the box office opening
interesting.
Night.
Yeah.
Here's my thoughts on it. I liked it, and then I thought about it, and it's not that I don't like it. I don't like the editing.
Yeah, the editing pissed me off here and there. Yeah.
The reason for the editing is there's the semblance of how time travels in that game. Yeah, the way that time moves in that movie, it feels... Sometimes you feel like you're at one point in the day, and then other times you're like, is it 2 days from now, or is this 2 hours later?
Or is this 30 years?
Maybe not quite that much, but...
I'm just joking.
But you know what I mean? It just, like, there was a lot of... It's not a jump cut. It was just like, here's one scene, and here's another scene, but how is that those two things connected? Yeah. We know what the theme is, but what happened?
Well, it's Ridley Scott kind of did what Bungie did with Halo Reach... And that is, but he did it to himself rather than Bungie doing it to 343 as a big fuck you to Microsoft, you know? And he introduced a bunch of shit that had never even been thought about, you know?
Kind of his original project.
I know, it was his original project, but he brought in a lot of shit that needs explaining to kind of push for the need for an additional movie to explain
shit. Well, I'm talking about like how he pretty much introduced the whole Aliens thing.
Yeah, it was his baby, but that's what I'm saying is he did himself what Bungie kind of did to Microsoft, but he did it to himself on purpose. I'm pretty sure he did. As for the editing, I was not very happy with the beginning part. As the movie picked up and went on, the editing got a little better because it was all within the same time frame, so you kind of knew.
Yeah.
There are a few loopholes here and there that I figured out later on after I sat and thought about the movie, but other than that, it was an okay movie.
It was pretty decent. It didn't exceed my expectations.
Yeah, I was hoping for another glorified Alien original kind of redo with that, you know, last man standing, all hope is lost, and it kind of had that, but just not to the extreme that Ripley had to deal with against the original Xenomorph.
But there's some pretty cool scenes.
There are definitely some pretty cool scenes, and there's some pretty interesting shit, so I liked it. And if you're a big Alien fan, a lot of shit gets explained that you've been wondering for a long time.
Well, I really like the girl. What is it? It was Natalie Rapace?
Yeah, Rapace, the chick from the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like her.
Well, what's funny is Ridley Scott wanted her to do the movie so bad. She could not speak English very well, and he told her that if you want the part, you need to learn English, learn to speak English better. And so she actually went out and learned how to speak just so she could do the fucking part, because he really wanted her to do it because he saw the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
And fell in love with her and her acting skill, which is good. You know, that he has a good eye for actors, he always has. But it is nice to see his triumphant return to sci-fi, because I think it is a triumphant return because... Apart from the editing, the visuals were really awesome. Well done.
There was a lot of practical effects.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Yeah, the atmosphere was great, and he didn't fall into the shitty traps of using CGI backgrounds, like mm-hmm. a lot of people do when they're using 3D. He wanted to keep it real backgrounds, real sets, to the point that they had to extend the 007 set to make it bigger, and that was actually one of the biggest sets known to man. So,
yeah, so they pretty much, almost most of it wasn't CG. They just used CG to kind of...
to accentuate certain parts, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the backgrounds were real, and so when you actually see it in 3D, it's just totally breathtaking what they've done with it, because it doesn't have that fake feel that a lot of 3D movies do, like Abattoir. Yeah. That's my new name. So anyways, Prometheus, great movie. Yeah. I plan on buying it when it comes out. And do sit through the credits. There's a little extra.
Yeah.
A little mystery. Find the website if you can.
Yeah, so. I don't think we sat through them.
Yeah, there's just a date with a Wayland logo, but if you take what is and the date and then .com, it takes you to a website that's tied to WaylandIndustries.com.
Huh.
And it has a Nietzsche book and some quotes on there, so it could just be a release date, but who knows. So anyways, off to you, Justin. You were talking about what you were doing, and then Holly interjected with Prometheus.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
I am a bitch.
She has bat bling. It's cool.
Yeah, you are wearing some bat bling.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it's awesome.
She could ride a bike with that. In the dark.
Yeah, you
could. I was going to say, yeah, I probably could.
Yeah.
Cars would see it.
Well, it's a rhinestone encrusted bat symbol around her neck.
It is, and it's big.
It's about ninja star. Yeah.
It's about almost not quite veteran.
Yeah, you could stab a homeless guy's eyes out with that.
Probably.
If he attacked you. So, anyways.
I tried to eat my face.
Yeah, try to eat your face, bat salts. So, let's go ahead and let's go and move forward, Justin.
Okay. Well,
truck on through.
Excuse me. Skyrim, obviously. Going two-handed warrior.
Two-handed warrior.
I'm discovering new things with that game.
About yourself?
Well, maybe a little bit. About how I thought I liked magic, and now I just really like swords.
Now you understand why I always play Red Guard. Fuck the magic, dude. Just get in the middle
I went Breton because I wanted the magic resist.
Yeah.
And I had an elf warrior named Squiskar.
Yeah, I remember you were showing me that, yeah.
And he didn't have magic resist, and so it was fucking me. So I go to those quests where you deal with a lot of mages, and they just eat me alive. So
that's what I enjoy about it, though, is overcoming that as a Red Guard. You have a little bit of magic stuff that you can use here and there, but for the most part, you're pretty much just straight up.
Well, the Breton was the only one that just had a straight up, like, 25 or 50% straight up magic resist.
Yeah.
Which helps out because cold magic kicks your ass.
Yeah, it does.
And so that helps out. That helps out quite a bit. And then you can do dragon skin, which will absorb magic for a certain amount of time, which is really good. But the bigger thing with that is I'm playing mostly through the main story and then doing some of the side quests that go. Like, I ran into that quest with a ghost.
No, yeah, on the field.
Yeah, I got to find out who this kid's murderers are. You know, and that was really... That was really interesting, something I'd never discovered before. And
did you find the other one that was... I thought you were talking about a different one at first, but that's in that one town with the house that burned down.
Yeah.
But there's another one where you're out in the field and you run across a ghost, somebody who's waiting for her husband or something like that, and you go out to this battlefield where there's, like, you know, a battle took place and there's a ghost there who died in the battle, and you have to lead him to his girlfriend, his wife who's waiting for him. That's a really good one, too.
There's a lot of little interesting quests, and with the side quests, like, you don't expect it to be much because it's in your miscellaneous log,
mm-hmm.
and then you find out there's this whole little mini-adventure that goes with it, and it might take you a couple hours, and that one didn't take me... took me maybe an hour.
Yeah.
But if you've seen that miscellaneous quest log, and I'm sure millions of people have at this point, that thing is amazingly large.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely is.
So, but yeah, still, that game still has it. Like, I got into it and I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. And then I started playing, and I almost took off a day of work this week.
Yeah, you become addicted to it again. You really do.
And I'm just like,
it's easy to get back into.
Well, and that brings me to another thing, because I was putting it off because I wanted to play some DayZ.
Yeah.
And we had talked about it last week about what it is and, you know, Arma 2's new mod. And it's one of those things where I've been reading about it online and seeing the different quests for survival from other people. And I was like, what the hell is this? You know, and then I see it, DayZ, this whole open world zombie survival game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a game, it's just a mod that forces people to do things that you might do in an apocalypse.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to slowly realize that.
I think the best one was somebody who described as a zombie RPG simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, to kind of backtrack a little bit, Arma 2 is a game that came out 3 years ago.
It's a war game.
Yeah, a war game. And It didn't do very well. I don't remember what the actual numbers is. It's really hard to find out what download numbers are on PC games. Just throwing it out there, unless it's something like Skyrim. Mm. But apparently, since this mod came out, in the last 3 weeks, it's sold 5 times the amount of its original sell.
Yeah.
It's the number one selling game on PC right now on Steam.
Damn.
It's not selling quite Diablo numbers, but
like add a flag. Just add a zombie and boom.
Well, and I talked about that last week. You know, zombies and bacon. I mean, they're two, like, overused marketing tactics. But
and potatoes.
But when those things are done right, mm-hmm. people like them. And I've liked zombies for a long time. Yeah. You've loved zombies for a long time. I think because of hanging around you when I was younger, mm-hmm. this is probably the reason I like zombies so much.
Yeah. I'm a big zombie fan. All my youth was spent, like, anytime I do, like, movie marathons, it was usually zombie stuff and crap people had never seen. And I'm like, like, Night of the Living Dead's good.
Well, and
but
we
you should
did
try
that.
Zombie.
We did that. What was the movie that we had watched, the kids?
Which one?
They were just kids that were in a town. It was just, like, 4 or 5 different kids. I don't know. It was ridiculously awful.
Oh, are you talking about Return of the Living Dead?
No. It was just some B movie that
There's
we had watched.
A lot
watched.
Of those.
Well, yeah.
And that genre, yeah. there are thousands.
Yeah.
It's usually teenagers that get involved with it.
Yeah, so I didn't really
Was
help
it 80s
at all.
Or?
No, it's a new one.
Oh, it's a newer one.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to think on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A very good example if you can't name the title.
Well, I remember them, like, running around a hospital and, like, the girl.
That doesn't help anything.
I know. Well, you're going. She spins the blood, though. Because she's trying to figure out what the cure is. Just this, like, younger girl.
It
I don't know.
Spins the blood.
Well, they're in the hospital. I don't know what the thing is called.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm being an asshole.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know what it's called.
I'd be afraid of you punching me, but I know your arms are too short.
You know how many zombie movies have centrifuges in them?
Okay.
I'm talking
about
done crazies, with this conversation.
No.
No, the original crazies doesn't have.
No. The original crazies is 2 firemen who were in, like, Vietnam together, and they're both socially awkward.
And that movie kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a very good movie.
No, I don't know. If I think of anything else about it, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
but I probably won't. That's really all I can remember.
It's all right. We know where you're going. The heart of your adventure here was there. It just didn't quite.
And you remember the centrifuge a lot. So.
The blood spinning.
The blood carousel. Call it the blood carousel. Yeah. The carousel for blood.
So.
Thank God.
Speaking of zombies, though. Honestly, I think between you and an old friend of mine, I watch a shitload of zombie movies within like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
My late teens and early 20s. And I probably met you when I was like 20 years old.
They're good movies.
Yeah.
They can be. Yeah.
Well,
even when they're really bad, they're still kind of decent.
Well, it depends on how much they hone in the social commentary, to be honest with you.
Well, it's like Dawn of the Dead. You know.
I still love Dawn of the Dead.
I'm gonna speak blasphemy. I like the new one better.
No, the new one's really good if you take it as a separate film. So that's not a remake, it's an adaptation, because that's what it really is. A remake constitutes sticking to the story. They really change it all. And so it's an adaptation. It's a really good one. Tom Savini did the same thing with Night of the Dead when he did an adaptation of that where the heroine is actually... Well, actually, she wasn't a heroine in the first one, but now she is. She's a badass motherfucker by the end. Now, I actually like Savini's version better than Romero's. Romero's a good jumping point. It's just... He treated women like total vacuous douchebags in that movie. And Savini was like, no, women are badass. Let's Ridley Scott it. Let's make her awesome.
Let's Ridley Scott it.
Yeah.
Well, so, with all that in mind, there's a big, you know, we have a history of zombies before zombies were big. And we're not saying that to be snobs. We're just saying that, hey, they were cool beforehand. They're still cool even though everybody likes it.
I was an Encore kid.
They'll always be cool.
Yeah, I was an Encore at Midnight Movie kid growing up. So it was, you know, USA Up All Night with Gilbert Gottfried watching shitty horror movies like Chopping Mall and Class of Nukem High. And I go to the Midnight Movies and see all kinds of really kick-ass films that, you know, you normally don't run across. Like, you know, Dimani and a whole bunch of Lamberto Bava films. And I fell in love with Italian cinema, which did horror, zombie horror, really good. And so I have a really deep appreciation for that stuff. And in the 80s, it was Demons and Zombies that came out of Italy. hardcore.
Yeah, and then in the 90s, everything kind of died down. I mean, really, the only big horror movie in the 90s was Scream.
Well, that's because horror movies died off, and it was Wes Craven who actually brought it back with Scream and did a really good... I actually like Scream. The first Scream is actually a really good... When you go back and you watch it nowadays, you actually appreciate it for what it is, because you're like, you know, there was Freddy's Dead and all that, and that was kind of the end of the whole horror show. People were just like, you know, whatever, we're tired of that shit, let's watch some rom-coms. And then he brought back with Scream, which kind of meshed that teenage movie genre that was coming out with a bunch of teens doing teen stuff and all that, but then he added murder into it.
Yeah.
And just fucked up shit, and he actually made it really
funny.
And
now everyone does it.
Yeah, they're Stab, they're Scream, Shriek, all ripoffs of the Scream
and
franchise.
It's not, I mean, not just those sorts either. I mean, you've got like My Bloody Valentine and stuff like
that. Well,
that
was a remake of an old 70s film way before that. The original My Bloody Valentine was a great movie. One. Really good movie. And, it's one of those things where he took what people had already done, because, you know, Friday the 13th was a bunch of, you know, adolescent, you know, like, you know, late teens, early 20s, beering and drinking it up, having sex, doing all that stuff, and it kind of followed those rules you're not supposed to break, which is don't have sex, don't do drugs, you know, otherwise you'll get your head chopped off or skewered with a spear like Kevin Bacon, you know, and that's true, you don't do those things, and even in real life you find that when you do those things, you go out and you have sex and you put yourself in this situation where there's drugs involved, you get fucked, if you let your guard down, you can't get fucked. And I love how he took that original formula that was there and he just modernized it by making fun of teen comedy movies.
Because
Scream is a funny movie when you watch it. Like, Henry Winkler's in it, and they fucking crucify the principal to the fucking field goal in the football field with his guts, his entrails laid out. And he's such a pussy in the movie when you watch it. He's like this really scaredy cat principal, so it's kind of funny to watch him die. And they made fun of it, and it was kind of fun. But too many people have done it.
It reminds me of The Faculty, though.
That movie was so horrible but good.
I know.
I like that they used Pink Floyd's The Wall, you know, with Hey Teachers. When the guy's like the janitor, the only person who's not an alien, who's an adult, he's like, "Hey, teachers, leave them kids alone." He like drives the whole thing. I was just like, that's fucking funny. That was pretty funny. It's reminded me of Nukem, fucking Nukem High and Troma films. With their cheesy campiness and their references towards pop culture and shit that they throw into their films, you know. And the basis of what I was getting at is American movies are always 10 to 15 years behind everybody else. The stuff we're seeing coming out nowadays is crap that, say, France and Germany and Europe was doing back in the 90s. So you're getting all these really masterfully done, beautiful cinematic experiences equal back in the 90s to The Cell type situation when that was an American film, but it looked like a European film with all the slow motion stuff and weird crap. Before that, in the 90s...
That movie looks good, but it sucks.
It's a horrible fucking movie. No, it really is. But in the 80s, they were kind of... Like, we had... And then the 70s, you had, like, French New Wave.
Yeah.
Nouveau, which was, you know, the first stuff that really started doing they were kind of the first. The French films were ones that first did straight cuts in films, where the scene just totally cuts out and goes to the next one. Before that, every scene had to fade out and fade in, fade out, fade in. And they were like, fuck that, waste too much time, and it kind of, you lose that essence, that tension. If you just watch a really tense scene and it fades out, you're like, oh, it's over, I'm safe. But when it cuts, you're like, okay, what's going on now with it? So it's kind of like you're in a dream, and when you wake up from a dream and fade out, you just snap back to reality. It was a nightmare, and you're still wondering if you're in the fucking nightmare because there was no fade out. So, and 90s dropped the ball in America. And until the late 90s, like 97, when Scream came about, and they started saying, okay, Europe is still capitalizing on horror films. We can find a way to do it, and Craven reinvented it. In a loose term, in a loose sense of the word. So,
and now zombies are back.
Zombies are back. Yeah, zombies are back. But
zombies never went away.
Well, Romero kind of ruined it. He created it, and then he didn't really create it. He just modified it, and then he ruined it. He tried to turn it into too much of a social commentary, which I understand and appreciate. But in Day of the Dead, when every line is basically to reinforce the fact they're just us, a different form of. Stop it! I don't want to fucking hear it anymore. And then Island of the Dead was the same goddamn thing. When the zombies are walking away, he's like, don't shoot them. He's like, why not? He goes, they're just like us, trying to find a place to live, a place to fit in. And he's like, oh, god damn it, fucking... put John Leguizamo's back on the fucking screen. At least he didn't say anything stupid for a change.
So speaking of that, humanity as being the real evil in zombie movies.
Yeah, DayZ. Arma, DayZ.
DayZ.
In all fairness, you can't talk about DayZ without actually talking about zombies for a little bit, just to kind of bring up the whole tension between.
Yeah, no, and that's good, and that's kind of what you kind of lead that to a really good segue.
Yeah.
The real enemy in that game is each other, and they reinforce that over.
Although the zombies do fuck you up a lot.
So let's talk a little bit about DayZ, because me and you played a shit ton of that this weekend.
Just to throw it out there, I think I really wish I would have been capturing it when it happened with my Fraps or Deck Story. But my favorite moment in DayZ so far was you and I being alive for about 5-6 hours. We're doing really good. We got a lot of supplies. We're in nowhere close to being killed. And we go through this town, and we realize we just set off a little bit of a horde, so we're going to book it. So we start booking it, and we get across the railroad track out of the town. So, okay, let's just turn around and fucking drop them. So we turn around to drop them. There's maybe 8 of them.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, in the middle of this horde coming at us, a dude on a bicycle rides by in the middle of it, and behind him is 20 more zombies.
It's like
dragging
a fucking
train. And they just say, fuck him, and they all start attacking us. So we book it and run, and I just see him type in the chat. He's like, good luck, guys. You know, and we killed them. We killed every fucking one of them. And then
a lot of ammo doing it.
Yeah,
too.
But we killed him, and I broke my leg, but we survived. And then I see him on his bike later on coming back. He was on the chat saying, "I need help," and Electro, I'm being attacked by 50 zombies, and he's on his fucking bike still going 4 miles an hour, which they run faster than that. And he stops at the gas station right by us and just gets fucking laid out. And I was like, "Good luck." that was the funny part.
Bringing that up though, like we went to this gas station, we hadn't encountered a lot of players. There was a point where, so you have the ability of doing direct and global chat. Global chat, everybody on the server sees it. Direct chat, people within a certain vicinity see it. So like say 50 meters or something. It's not that far.
Yeah.
And we got, me and you were scavenging through some apartment buildings.
That's where it's too close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
What?
It's too close of it. It needs to be a further proximity, because if you see somebody like down in the same area you're in down the street, I would rather be able to talk to them then and be like, dude, are you friendly or not? I don't want them to know where I am.
Yeah, well, so we see this guy on top of a hospital, and we've just cleared out this area boat swing.
We're in an apartment building on the top floor.
Yeah, looking across this hospital, and I see the zombie, and I shoot him through the hole in the roof, because there's an entryway to the roof. Excuse me, and I climb up there. And I'm looking around, and we hear some gunfire.
Yeah.
And I look over, and on top of the hospital, there's this dude in camo. And he's got, like, an M16, you know, and he's looking out for zombies or whatever. And I say, through direct chat, are you friendly? And I don't get a response, so I say it in global chat. Dude on hospital, are you friendly?
Yeah, and meanwhile, I'm in the top floor apartment in the front room, and I've got a bead on him, and I can see him across the way. And I tell him I can see him, and so I kind of dig against the wall, so I can pop out and shoot him if he wants to be a dick. Anyway, go back.
So, and what I say is, he goes, well, it depends. Do you guys like 10 cans? And I'm just like, oh, this guy's being an asshat.
Yeah.
He's not going to give me a direct answer. He's going to try to draw a bead on us and drop us both. And so, what did I say?
You said, I
pulled a bluff.
No, you weren't pulling a bluff. You were just being honest, because you said, you better be friendly, blah, 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 because I have 2 beads on you right now that can drop you in a heartbeat. And the guy says, well, in that case, and he just logs out.
Yeah.
Which is against server rules, to log out to avoid death.
Well, on that particular server.
Well, I know. That's why I said on server rules. A lot of them will tell you this, that it's against the rules that you will be banned, permabanned, if you drop out to avoid death. But
so, and I said that because you never know, because I've already been backstabbed in that game so many times for my gear. And so people will kill you over your gear. And it's understandable.
They'll kill you
so
over beans.
Yes.
Because you start with beans, but beans are like fucking mailboxes. They're everywhere. Beans is everywhere, but they will kill you for them.
So, and it's one of those things where, like, I try to help people in the house, and the night before, I'd gotten really far. I say really far, not really far in the game, but for me, I'd survive for like 6 or 7 hours. Mm. And I get into this church looking for supplies, because the church in Cherno, which is one of the major towns, has some supplies. So I get in there, and I'm scavenging around, and I see some dude. I'm like, friendly, and he doesn't respond, but he doesn't shoot me. And he goes, okay, and that's all I got. And so he went in the church, I went in the church behind him and closed the door, and scavenging around, and I say in direct chat, hey, I got some extra ammo, would you like some extra ammo? I'm just trying to be friendly, you know, I'll give you some ammo, you don't have to worry about giving me anything else. And so the animation for you giving something is you get down on your hands and knees, and you look in your bag, but it doesn't show you looking in your bag. It's just, it's almost like you're looking in an invisible bag.
Yeah.
So I get down on my hands and knees to give him some ammo, and the dude shoots me in the head. And I was like, oh, you asshole. And then I, for whatever reason, had some trouble logging back in. And so when you die, you basically have to log back into the server. And that particular server was full, so I never got back into that server to find that asshole. So after that experience, I became a little less friendly.
Well, yeah.
And I kind of realized that's kind of the point of the game, is people are all acting like survivors. Like, you can band together with people and survive better if you can band together. The problem is finding somebody that you would trust.
Yeah.
And you don't know any of these.
I just need to get it, and we can all.
Well, the worst part is, even if you're playing with a friend, if they shoot you, you don't even know it was them that shot you. That's the best part, because it doesn't tell you who killed you. It just shows that you died. And there's videos.
So if I start playing with you guys and I end up dead,
we can cap you in the head. But here's the thing: is
you would do that.
Well, no. Here's how bad it gets. I never shot him. I never shot him.
You didn't shoot me though.
I would never shoot you, because it's one of those games where it's such a pain in the ass that if you die, it sucks. You spawn within a 4-hour perimeter along the coast. We could be 10 miles in. That's fucked.
Well, let's explain something else, because the scope of this game is enormous.
225 kilometers squared.
Yeah. So it's basically 25 by 10 square kilometers.
Yeah. And it's two sides of it touch the ocean, and the other is inland. It's huge.
I need a computer.
Yeah, you do.
It's so big that me and Trent spent hours and hours and hours, and we looked at the actual area. If you look at the actual area we're in the map.
Yeah.
Maybe a fifth of the total map.
Yeah.
And there's other towns that we didn't even touch.
Can you get me to use a controller, or is it all...
I wouldn't use a controller. I'm pretty sure you can, because it's a lot of context-sensitive menu stuff.
There's a shitload of controls for it. So, really, I'm going to back up just a little bit before I get into DayZ stuff. The biggest boss with DayZ is finding the correct server.
Mm-hmm.
This is a user-made mod, and there are some official servers that people have set up. People, not the mod maker, because that costs money. Part of the problem with that is there are different versions of DayZ. There's a beta version that's out. It's like 1.7.
It's about 4 patch versions. There's 1.6, 1.61, 1.7, 1.71.
Right. So, and most of the servers go on 1.6.
But that's just the patch. Also, the game version counts towards it, too. That's what the little number at the bottom is.
So, but moving along, the problem is you'll find servers that wouldn't work with us. And so I think our initial problem really was just we were playing with too new of a version.
Yeah.
And none of the servers were compatible. Yeah, and we rolled back to something older. Like, we didn't have as much of a trouble. Yeah.
We went from 1.71 to 1.7, and everything fixed itself. You just got to make sure you're looking at 1.7 servers, or even 1.61 servers.
1.61 seemed to work the best.
Well, you talked about making your own, right?
Yeah, I just... It requires time, and I don't have a lot of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But eventually, I think if I had enough people that listened to the show that wanted to play it, I could run a server with certain rules or whatever.
Yeah. Because I could run it with Meg.
Yeah, and I could run it with a password so that only certain people could be on. Yeah. But
there's no fun in that.
Exactly. Yeah, so
you can tailor make your servers, which is kind of cool, which is where you can say there's no third person mode, there's no crosshairs, stuff like that. you can change a lot of things in it, which is kind of cool. So, but the problem is that the server is very lacking in information, so you never know what the rules are for that server when you jump in, unless they've coded it in to post it as soon as you jump in, which sucks. So, you have to actually sit through the process of trying to jump into the game before you know if you can even go into third person. Also, there's no time, so you don't know if the server is nighttime or daytime. It's playing at night. Sucks.
So, backing that up just a little bit, it took us...
Can you climb trees?
No.
No. You can climb most other things.
So, really getting back to what I was talking about, though, getting the game to where it'll run was a bitch.
Yeah.
There's a steep learning curve to getting this to where it's a playable game. Along with just patching it, I mean, for an advanced computer user, not that bad. But for somebody, if I was introduced somebody to PC gaming, this would not be the first game I introduce them to. For somebody that's already used to some of this stuff, that wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
But there's a whole method to using your backpack that does not follow any conventional means.
It's very counterintuitive.
Which I hope they fix. There's some really shitty animations in the game. There's funny things where zombies can't run up really steep hills.
Yeah.
Which is one of the only ways to escape them, since they can follow you forever.
Yeah.
And then that they slow down whenever they get into a house.
That I'm actually grateful for.
I am grateful for, because
that warehouse situation.
Me and Trent found the best way to eliminate large hordes was to find a barn, hide up the stairs and just shoot them as they run full tilt.
Because there's
two, and they hit the entryway, and then they instantly slow down to a wall.
Because there's two entrances with stairs that go opposite ways, so basically we can get up there and cover both and just fucking fire shotgun shells into them and just drop them. You know, it's pretty handy. It's not really cheating, I don't think.
No. That's actually an encouraged tactic.
Yeah.
But the problem with shooting a gun in any given town is you alert zombies within like a 100-yard radius. Yeah,
so even like if you're trailing like 20 zombies that you found in a field that are chasing you, as soon as you fire your first shot in that town, once you find somewhere to hold up, you're going to alert every one of them that's in a certain proximity inside the town.
Yeah, How long is it until they get bored, though?
They never get bored.
They don't?
They keep coming.
They are the tireless
undead. Until you've killed them all. And a lot of people just go around and clear towns out. And once they clear the town out, they just go ahead and keep moving forward, looking for supplies and move to the next town.
Some people do that. The only other problem with shooting zombies, you also alert other players to where you're at.
Yeah.
You can hear gunshots for a fair amount of ways away. And, of course, if you see a big trail of zombies going to a building, you know that somebody's probably holed up there.
Yeah.
So you might sneak in with the horde and take them down, or sneak in through the opposite direction and take them
down. Also, you get freaked the fuck out. I remember we were walking by that pond, and we heard sniper fire. And as soon as we were just like, down! And we dropped to the ground in the prone position every time. And I was like, looking around, I was like, oh, wait a second. And I was like, no, I scratched my face and hit my mic. That's all. I'm sorry. So we get back up. And then we hear real gunshots. I was like, down! So, yeah.
So it's one of those things where it takes so long to find the gear that you need to really survive.
Yeah.
That dying and losing that gear is a big fucking deal.
Yeah, because you can find all kinds of stuff like map, watch, compass, flashlights. Flashlights are actually a little bit easier to find. I've come across quite a few. It's just to pick up a flashlight,
but you maps, have to drop. I found the entire time I've
your secondary.
Yeah, the entire time I've played this game, I've found one map.
Yeah, and I
played
found it all one weekend. Compass. That's about it. I haven't even found a map.
Exactly. You've been playing a long ass time, and so that map is precious to me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't actually show you where you are on the map. It just shows, if you have a compass, it shows what direction you're facing.
Yeah.
In regards to the map. So you can use the map and look at all... It looks like a real topographical map.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks just like something you'd see, like the Ranger... Like
Rangers. Well, it's done up like a tourist map, because it's got, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like, it's got the ground contours on what's mountains and what's not, and whatever.
It's got all the little towns, as well as... you can see the drinking wells. Wells will show up as little gray, tiny circular spots inside the town if they've got one. Me, inside the dual monitor, I pull up a map on my secondary screen, so the map's not as important to me. But the compass would be, because otherwise I have to kind of guess which way I'm facing by looking at my screen and seeing buildings and looking at the map and seeing the outlines of the buildings and the towns and figuring out which way is what. So.
Then why wouldn't you... Okay, hold on.
Question time.
Is it normally, like, if you jump back in, is it going to be the same map that you were in? If you
It doesn't change the map. It
doesn't change your position between servers or your gear between servers. Yeah. So you keep that persistently through every server you log into.
So I've logged out in a barn. When I come back in, even if it's on a different server, I'm in that same barn.
So why don't you take a screenshot of the map?
Mm-hmm.
So if you die, you still have it with you.
Well, no, you can find maps online. That's what I was saying. It's like a map pulled up on my secondary monitor that's online that shows me everything. Like every town, all that stuff.
I was
going to
say, if it's such a big problem, just take a screenshot.
Also playing the game and just dying a few times and kind of getting your bearings is probably a good experience for a new player to the game. Just kind of getting the use of the mechanics and what happens when you shoot zombies. When me and Trent started playing for the first time, we didn't know basically what happened when you fired a shot, or we didn't know that running was bad, basically.
Yeah.
And then...
Running is bad?
Right, because when you run, you make a lot of noise, and you can be seen.
Yeah.
And so there's a little icon that shows how much noise and how much visibility you have. Yeah. So if you run, that maxes out. And then if you run a road, it maxes out one more bar.
Yeah.
So
if you're making more noise.
And you're more obvious because you run down the road. So
you run around crouched all the time.
Yeah, which you run at about 3/4 speed that way, and it's actually pretty effective anyway.
Yeah. And also the aiming system, it's like if you go third person, you have to click your right mouse button, and that'll bring you into
first person mode
with aiming. And if you hold it down, you'll zoom in to straight up iron sights, and you can actually fire that way. If you're already in first person, just clicking it will go ahead and pull the gun up, so you're ready to go. But what you'll end up doing a lot of time is you'll be in third person, if you like playing third person, which is actually very helpful because you can see behind you. But you'll be crouched running along and holding in that button to zoom in to kind of look around to see ahead of you, like, you know, further off in the distance, and zombies will start to populate. You'll see them as you get closer and closer, as you can kind of gauge, do I need to go ahead and go further down to the coast to get around this area, or should I go this way, or just run straight through? So you spend a lot of time zoomed in.
You also spend a lot of time crawling, because zombies, yeah, unless you're in direct line of sight within a few feet, won't see you or hear you if you're crawling.
Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of times in my single player just crawling through towns from building to building, hoping nobody would notice me and no zombies would notice me, and then occasionally having to fire a shot, kill one zombie, and then run like hell.
Yeah. Plus, it's stuff
like...
So
what other ways do you have to kill zombies?
You just shoot. That's pretty
much all you got. You can actually do other things, like you can throw whiskey bottles at them and tin cans. You can.
So you can't use an axe?
No, the axe that you pick up is actually for cutting down timber to make a campfire so you can cook food or just get warm. It's a straight up, I mean, it's straight survival. It's realistic. You have hunger, you have dehydration.
There's no... Yeah. This is also alpha hauling.
Yeah.
So there. Yeah. So you should get on the forums and suggest these things.
One of the cool things that you can do is those empty whiskey bottles you find all over the place, you can pick them up and use them as a distraction, where if you have humans that pin you down, or zombies, you can take the whiskey bottle and throw it like you would one of the flares, and wherever it smashes will draw the attention of the zombies, and they'll go over there like they heard, you know, because they heard a sound. Gives you a chance to book it out of there if you're surrounded. But you can also use it for human players, for if you want to get their attention because you're on a rooftop, but you know if you pull out the fire they're going to see you. You can throw a bottle off to the side, and when they hear it and look over there, you can snipe them in the head. So it does come in handy. I think tin cans, I've heard tin cans, if you throw the empty ones,
they do the same thing.
They will damage zombies if you hit them, but they say that they think that's a glitch that shouldn't be in there, that they'll probably fix that eventually.
Well, but so. Melee is not really an option. This is what we're both getting at.
I think it should be, though. If they're trying to get more realistic, then...
It should be, but right now, I don't think there was melee inside the original arm, and that might be why.
Okay.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I will bring up, so you have these meters in the side, and one of those was humanity.
Yeah, which is kind of... I don't think
they're not really using it right now.
The original way it was set up was you have a certain amount of humanity, and if you kill somebody, you have their amount of humanity deducted from yours, because you just did an inhumane thing by murdering somebody. If somebody shoots at you first, it's self-defense, so it doesn't count. But if you just straight up murder somebody without them taking a shot at you first... If they had 500 humanity, it will deduct that 500 from yours.
Well, the original idea is you killed so many people, it turned you into a bandit,
mm-hmm.
which automatically puts you with bandit garb.
Yeah.
And if you're in bandit garb, people automatically know you're an asshole.
Yeah.
So, but I think they took that out with the latest patch for right now. The next thing...
Well, it used to say Survivor next to your name. If when you would zoom in on people, you would see Survivor, their name, and it would say Survivor, and then how far away they are, or Bandit. And I don't think they have that anymore either.
Well, there's just... most of the server rules...
You shouldn't be able to know unless they're dressed a specific way or something like that.
Because they're not all going to run around like Humongous and Mad Max. You know, then it's not going to be obvious.
But there's also the... Right below that's temperature. So you have a certain body temp. And, like, if you're running around in the rain, like outside, you start to get cold. You start to get cold, your gun shakes and you can't aim. And then also, eventually, you can... I think you can die from it, but...
Yeah.
You got heat packs and, of course, fire, or you can get out of the rain.
And they have antibiotics in case you get a cold, so you can cure it. But if you cough, that's the thing. If you get a cough from beyond the cold, you can actually just, your character will cough every once in a while, and he'll attract zombies if he does it.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So there's also other things. You have your blood meter,
mm-hmm.
Your water, your hydration, and your hunger. Hydration and hunger both make your gun shake after so many times, after they get low enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you can eventually die of hunger, but...
Yeah, you can. You start losing blood and you die.
But the thing is if those drop too low, then your gun shakes and you can't aim or whatever. Yeah. The other thing, too, with blood, though, is blood drains. Your actual health drains. So you have a blood meter on your screen.
Yeah.
And it's at 12,000. It starts draining. Like, a zombie hits you, I don't know, is it like 500 or something like that?
If a zombie hits you, you start bleeding. You start losing, I think, about 3, 4, 5 points per second. And it'll actually, I think, every maybe 10 per second.
That might be 100 points per second. It seems like it was quite a bit more than 5 points.
No,
you have 12,000.
I can't remember if it's... I think it might be every half second, because I know that I've been hit before and stopped it before it even hit below 1,100. Sorry, 11,000.
Well, anyways, it's funny because once you get hit and you start bleeding, it's like an anime. Like, you got blood just, like, splurting, spurting out of your forehead.
And it's an inner bell. too.
Yeah, it alerts zombies.
Ahead of you, just like turn and start running towards you.
Like,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to bandage yourself up pretty quick when that happens. You can also break bones, which you had the unfortunate luxury of doing.
Yeah, I think a zombie attacked me and somehow broke my bone when we got to the top of the lighthouse, and I was laying on the ground shooting upward at zombies, and just kept coming up and hitting me. I was like, God damn it! You know? And when I finally killed them all, and I tried to get up, and I fell forward. It's like, because if your leg's broke, you cannot stand up. You can just crawl. And so, unless you have morphine, at which point you can shoot morphine up, and you'll just ignore it, and you can go ahead and bandage yourself up, and you're fine. The bone will heal. But if you don't have any morphine, you have to crawl your happy ass to a place where you can find morphine. And it's slow moving, very slow. But luckily, most people won't see you. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But I found a lot of the time as I was exploring towns, aside from the crawling, you can hit shift while you're crouch running, and then you can walk, which makes no noise.
Yeah.
But you can still have a sight level of 1, which means things can see within about 15 feet.
Yeah.
But that helped a lot. So a lot of times me and Trent would be crouch run, then we'd walk for a second, crouch run and walk, and then we'd just kind of go from building to building. But we came into a really interesting situation because neither of us had really ran into anybody except for the guy on the bike.
Yeah.
Immediately after the bike, I see somebody running into a gas station.
Yeah.
And I say in direct chat, are you friendly? Again, try not to play the asshole card. No response.
No, I asked him if he was.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And I was like, okay, what do we do? And then he ran into the gas station, and he closed the door. And I was like, he's going to kill us.
Yeah, and I was like, and there were two doors in. There's a side door, and there's two big doors. And I was like, okay, just take the other door. And so I get up on the side door, and I'm waiting to either breach or wait for him to stick his head out again. And Justin, I just hear, like, gunshots. And Justin's like, okay, he attacked. So I come in through the door, and the door's open on the other side. So I run out, and the guy's just laying on the ground, so I start shooting him. And we step back. And
well, he survived the gunshot to the
head. Well, that was the funny thing. I was like, is he dead? Because you can't tell. And Justin's like, walks up to him.
Yeah, he got an option check pulse.
Yeah.
And he says the pulse is still strong.
And as soon as he said that, the guy like pops up and starts shooting. Bam, 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 bam. And then zombies attack. So we jump into the shed and we're shooting these zombies. And this random dude just comes running in and he's just like, holy fuck. You know,
we're like,
shoot him. I'm like, hey, zombies, aim at that guy. Going back and forth. I'm like, what do we do? I say, fucking kill him. And he goes like, no, zombies. So I start shooting the zombies. Ends up the guy was cool.
Yeah, the guy.
Then we killed him anyways because he started looking around us really like quietly, so we just fucking dropped him, I think, didn't we? I can't remember. Did we drop him?
No, we didn't drop him. Okay. He ran outside the door because I think he was freaked out.
That was it, yeah.
So he ran out the door and went over to this other like little settlement.
Yeah, I think it's when I decided to drop him. By that time, he just ran out. So.
So there was that tension going on. But I mean, at that point, like I'd wasted so much ammo. I got some screenshots. I think I'm almost at 200 zombies killed, which is a lot in that game because initially you get something called the Makarov, and the Makarov is this pistol that's a fucking BB gun.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It's 3 shots to kill a zombie or 1 shot to the head, and when you shoot a zombie, obviously you draw more zombies, and when you only got like 50 rounds, like that goes really quick. So
then you get the M1911, which is a much stronger gun.
It's a 1 shot kill gun for zombies, which is amazing.
But the worst part about your inventory is you can actually carry a lot of handgun magazines. You have, but that also takes up. It's shared with your handgun, your bandages, and your ammo for the handgun. So you have to kind of say, do I want to carry just 2 bandages and 6 magazines, or keep it half and half? As for your main weapon, which is a ship part, is it goes into your main inventory and it does not stack. So you've got shotgun shell, food, you know, and it's very limited.
Well, the way it was explained is those are your, like, ammo pouches. Yeah. So in your ammo pouches, you can shove a can of beans, or you can shove an EpiPen, which you use to revive which is stupid, but you use it to revive
why would an EpiPen revive somebody who's been killed? I was like, what the fuck?
But you have different things like that. So, I mean, you need to have a backpack. There are upgraded backpacks, but the thing is when people see you with upgraded gear, like, it's fucking Christmas, I'm going to go hunt that guy down.
Yeah, they know you got good shit on you, most likely. There's that one dude who had, like, 50 fucking tents.
He kept saying he
was laying them all out by Electro, south of Electro, just finding out all these fucking tents he had found. He's like, anybody want some tents? And I think he might have actually just been getting people to come down there so he could kill them. But the tents are pretty handy if you can sleep in them.
You can also store gear.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten a tent yet, but. Yeah, it was somebody who was like, free tent giveaway, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Somebody asked him if he was friendly. It's like, somebody hops on and goes, is this a friendly survey? He goes, depends. You like tents? he just kept fucking with people. So,
but I mean, overall, the experience has been something that...
For $30, I'm satisfied.
I have never experienced anything like this. A level of betrayal and, like, the heightened emotion that goes with that game.
Like, it's like watching all the Harry Potter movies in one sitting. You just get
excited. No. But it's one of those things where
I like Harry Potter.
I've been reading up on it after I played it just to see what other people, and there's a guy from PC Gamer that made a chart out of his emotional level as he played the game. Yeah. And it just goes up and down,
anger,
up and down.
Anger, sadness, anger, betrayal.
Betrayal. Yeah, something like anger, sadness, and betrayal. Just, and it's like, what the fuck? I lived?
Yeah, they're just flat lines of jaded. It's just right there, yeah. You do get mad. You get very fucking mad. And you're just like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah, you got to a point where you're about to just fucking turn it off
forever.
Well, that's
because I just spawned, and I had just died, and I had spawned, and I was like, okay, where are you at? And some guy spawned right next to me. I didn't notice him. I turn around, I see this guy, and he's just like, bam, 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 start shooting me. I'm like, what the fuck? We both just spawned, you son of a bitch. So I come back in. I'm like,
there's that
the
whole
fucker.
Thing, too, where we don't know where we spawn within about a...
About
10 kilometers. Well,
it is about 10 kilometers.
I spawn
all the way at the very end of the map one time. So.
Yeah, well, you can spawn on one end of this coastline, which is the southern coastline, or you can spawn on the other end. So it's anywhere within this, like, 10-kilometer region you can spawn. Yeah. And sometimes you'll spawn, if you get lucky, you'll spawn within a couple kilometers of each other.
Yeah, you'll spawn.
And it seems like there's common spawn points. Like, there's the end of the map.
Yeah.
There's a spot past the end of the map. There's a spot south of Cherno.
That's the one
I usually... a spot on the other side of Electro.
I usually get Cherno, which I'm glad for, because I know where a lot of the stuff is in Cherno. So
well, and I kept thinking I was spawning in the same spot, and apparently no. It kind of picks one of those spots. But it's an emotional roller coaster, and that's not to mention all the additional gear that you get that we haven't even brought up yet.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching videos of people that had found more stuff. Like, there's a tour bus, like, that people
someone
had fixed.
A helicopter.
Did you see the video of the person with the helicopter?
I didn't see it, but Andrew posted it. I didn't watch it, though.
You can get it. You can find all these parts. You basically go warehouse scavenging, and you can find manifold assemblies and stuff. And the crap, you just got to get all the parts to repair crap. Also,
you need fuel.
Yeah, I found somebody's ATV that apparently it's not a common spawn there. Somebody had just left it there and got killed. So I found it, and I was just riding around this fucking four-wheeler, just going around, and then I was like, this is kick-ass, and I get somewhere, and I stop,
and
I get off.
And then you smash your foot.
But I get off, and I notice there's this chain of zombies, like, oh, fuck that. So I get back on, I start going, and I'm booking it, and I start to run out of gas, and I was like, fuck. So I hit a hill, and hoping it would roll down, it actually stopped halfway down the hill, so I was just like, fuck, so I just got out and booked it. So,
but yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like, you can find the bike, and the bike will eventually break down. Mm-hmm. The ATV needs gasoline. You need parts to build the stuff for the trucks or the bus or the helicopter or the fucking boats. I mean, there's all sorts of little things that they've left within the world that were things in Arma 2 that just they're in disrepair, and the only way to get around it is to repair them and then start using them.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Or the tractor. I saw an amazing video that was a tractor. And somebody just found a tractor, repaired it, and put gas in it and just started. It's like a combine. So they're just running over zombies left and right in a big combine. But the problem again is, again, you attract attention to do that, not just from zombies, from other players.
Plus, everything you repair breaks down, so you have to keep repairing items if you want to, if you want to keep using it.
So the thing to remember about DayZ is it is definitely an alpha build.
Yeah,
and it's not even hit beta. I think it's almost a proof of concept at this point. That this is something that could be done, but it's a user made mod.
It's pretty awesome.
That's fairly amazing. I mean, just with no actual point of the game other than live, it's proved to sink about 30 hours between.
Yeah.
Either of us, really.
Yeah.
So, DayZ, pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah,
fantastic. I need it.
Yes, you do.
So do you guys think it would play on Casey's computer, or probably not?
I don't know. I just say try. Okay, I mean, you can really drop the settings down pretty low. It can look really good, or it can look really shitty.
Well, you say really good. It looks
I don't mean like Skyrim. I just mean it can look really... Like, I've gotten it to, like, when I max everything out, it was like, it actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Not like Bad Company or something.
Yeah.
Well, like what I was telling him, I mean, whenever I was playing The Old Republic on Casey's computer, that looked fine. You know, I dropped it quite a bit, but it still looked really good. But then you brought up the fact that it does load a lot as well.
Yeah.
And this game isn't going to.
Yeah, you can try and just install it and see, because, I mean, once you get your new computer, you're going to want to play it anyway, so is it worth spending the $30 and buy it now just to try?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if I buy it now, and I'm not able to play it, when am I going to be able to afford that computer? And when I can afford it, are people still going to be playing it?
Dude, I will still own it at that point, so will he. And trust me, I don't see this thing going bye-bye.
No, I think they're going to add a lot of things. Like, one of the things in the new patch, obviously... Right now, zombies can follow you forever, so they're adding a hide feature.
Yeah.
But they're also adding more zombies.
You need to be able to climb trees.
From
I want to climb trees.
Yeah, most people climb trees and die, because even though you're up the tree, it's still down there waiting for you to come down.
So, and what I if think, they're like, yeah, what but if they're
you,
like,
if you can hide and they can't actually
what
see
if they're
you?
Like woodchuck zombie hybrids,
zombie squirrels.
Yeah.
Zombies lose interest. They can't even run through houses.
So they're ADD kids.
They are.
So, yeah, they might fix the running through houses thing.
Especially if someone else runs by. Maybe you're lucky. Maybe you climb that tree and you hide, and then someone else is a ways away.
People
and
will distract them.
Their attention.
People think that about sharks, but most sharks will actually circle you until you just come out.
Well,
so.
Zombies are not sharks.
Yeah, but,
zombies are different. They will lose. They have zombie very
versus
short
shark.
Do you know this?
I know. I am a scientist. Did you not? I study zombies.
What, that boob you? That was not a tit joke. Anyways, let's go ahead and thank you for your opinion, Miss Holly, the scientist. So, doing the little aliens.
Zombies.
ADD. Anyway, so
ADD.
So that's Arma. Fantastic game. Pretty damn fun.
DayZ.
But is that all that you pretty much played?
Pretty much. I mean,
I picked up Fear 3 because it was on sale for really cheap, and I told myself if it ever dropped below like $10, I would buy it because I love Fear.
What did you get it on?
I got it on Steam for like $8. So sorry. Get a computer, Holly. Sales are better on Steam than on Xbox.
I have it on 360, and no one else has it.
Exactly, because sales are better on Steam than they are on Xbox. So, $8 for Fear 3, good deal.
You know what? I haven't even played fucking Run with anyone since
PAX.
Yeah.
Because no one plays
it. She looks at me.
Get a PC.
I blame you.
Get a PC and I'll play it with you.
I didn't have enough money at that point.
You can buy me one. How does that sound?
No, I'm not buying you a
fucking
PC.
And then we can play so many games together.
I'm not buying you a fucking PC. So, I'm not that stupid. So,
that's
but,
not stupid. That's a good investment.
Yeah, I'd be like, you're my best friend. I'm going to buy you a $1,500 computer.
I'm not asking for a $1,500 computer.
That's what you kind of need for gaming. Yeah. To go all out.
Well, the one that we had put together was only like $800.
Well, yeah, I know. I spent like $1,300 on mine.
Trent,
but I'm a big dick guy. I like big stuff.
What Trent did is he saw what I had, and he's like, I need to add more RAM, and that's why yours costs more money.
Yeah, I add more RAM, but
and
because
you
I
more
also
expensive
needed
tower.
It, so, because I wanted that case.
To be realistic,
case.
I don't want to dissuade people from PC gaming, though, Trent. You don't have to build a $1,300 machine
to
play
I'm
most
joking
everything.
With her.
But
knowing Holly, Holly is a showboater. Yeah, you drop your head in shame. She's a showboater. She'll want something that's bigger than her.
Yeah.
So,
that's
not
hard to do. But
I know, but she admitted to it.
So if people want me to, I'll build a PC on a budget or give you the specs to build something on a budget that'll play everything.
No, you can do that for like $700-$800. It's not that expensive.
Here's what I'm going to do. So I'm making this article.
Budget PC.
Budget PC.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it this weekend.
Yeah, and I got to say that, yeah, you can build one for $700-$800. They'll do what you want to do. It's not going to be like name brand shit. You're going to have to go with some things like a Rosewell, Power Source, which is not a bad company. I love Rosewell. I didn't go with them this time because I did largely Corsair on my case specs, so I kept it with a Corsair.
So big dick aside, I can build a PC that'll play everything on Steam.
Yeah.
Skyrim included. Maybe not Battlefield 3, which everybody's playing. If you want a Battlefield 3 machine, that's the only thing that and Witcher, that are the only two games that are really pushing systems to their max.
Yeah.
Everything else I can build for $700.
Crysis 2?
Crysis 2 will run on anything.
I haven't checked the stats on it.
So,
Crysis
2
will run on
much,
a less machine than Crysis.
If you wanted a PC that was going to play Witcher, how
Witcher
much would be spinning? Yes.
About $900.
Yeah. And that's for base stuff. So
I built mine under $900. I've got a fucking processor to
produce.
Oh,
no, I know. I'm just talking about for base stuff. Yeah. So his processor is probably one of the most expensive things on his damn computer.
It's the most expensive thing on mine's processor, and it's because I'm running an i7.
Yeah, it's an Intel i7, which is expensive.
A little bit overpriced.
Yeah, a little overpriced.
But
so.
I can build something, and I'll throw it up there. The only thing that's gone up since I built mine are hard drives have gone up.
Oh, yeah, well, that's because of the flooding, so it's really hard. I mean, I need like 2 terabyte, and I won't do it, even though I desperately need one for work stuff.
Yeah,
I will not do it.
I'm down to 100 gigs, and I need another one.
It's ridiculous.
How much are they?
$150 versus $75 last year.
It's like $150 for a 1 terabyte drive. You can maybe get it for $99. I found a few for $99, but those are sales right now for Seagate's Barracudas, and those aren't bad. I don't mind Seagate brand. It's just $150 just pisses me off. $100 even versus $75 pisses me off, and I need a 2 terabyte just for the extra room. That's like almost $230 right now. I will not spend that on
it. I got a better idea. So next week on next week's episode, yeah. I've got a whole lot of new games coming out. I'm going to consult with a PC friend of mine, mm-hmm. and I'm going to build something virtually through a bunch of links and show everybody what it is. But we'll talk about it for like 20 minutes on building a machine on a
projects.
Budget. So I'll do that next week for y'all. So you guys...
If I had those deals come through that I was talking about at work today, because I got those 4 deals that are mega money, if I have those come through and I get my commissions on, I was debating on building a budget PC for podcasting, so we could just, I was going to get a new table for us and get a new center and set everything up.
We could set it up as a media center and
as
a server.
Exactly. That's what I was wanting to do, is get something brand new out here with some new furniture for it, have a nice recording area, go all out, and because I'm going to have like $500,000, for one of them, for one of those projects. So if that happens, I'm going to pay off on my credit cards, but also do this. And if we do that, that'd be a good thing to post, how we did it and what we're doing.
Yeah.
So most definitely.
So, and that's something else to bring up. Some friends of mine that run another show talked about PC gaming going downhill. And I'm kind of using this as a launch pad. I did a bunch of research on it, just mostly out of wondering what the hell was going on with PC gaming. And right now, I don't want to say iPhone and iPad sales and things like that, but with an overall industry, say, I'm throwing out some rough numbers here, $16 billion last year spent on gaming in general. Of that, like 4 or 5 was just PC alone. Now, we're talking about that versus console, which is Wii, PS3, and Xbox, each individually grossing chunks of that money.
Yeah.
So PC is still as big a contender as people think. It's just there's not as many big titles on PC. Well, the thing that's keeping PC alive right now are the millions of indie projects that are going on. That I say millions. Tons and tons of indie projects that are going on are small things like DayZ, which you can't do on a console. And of course there's the MMOs, and you got League of Legends with 33 billion players.
To plug something really good, there's that Steam event that's going on. It's called An Indie Story. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That's a good thing. It's a game that you can get that also has a movie with it. It's a documentary about making this game. And watching that is something really beneficial, because you get to kind of see the side of indie gaming and how it's done and how much of a pain in the ass and how much commitment you have to do it. And when you see these games come up, like Binding of Isaac, fucking Bastion, stuff like that, you really get to see what these people have to go through to really get a game to even be on Steam, although Steam does pick up a lot of shit. But you have to see what they have to go through to get that merchandise they've devoted 3 years of their life to out there.
And you can get a lot of titles on Steam where they don't have to deal with actual distribution of a product. They don't have to go through and make discs. They don't have to send them to retail outlets to sell it. They can do online digital distribution, which costs next to nothing. And a company like Steam takes a portion, which is a much smaller portion than what you do with a traditional retail outlet.
It's basically the dawn of disc games, just put into digital now, because whenever it was cartridge versus disc, you can make a game, burn it right there, and try it on a console and start mass producing it. Burning discs. Now it's basically the other hand is basically now we're going from disc to digital, where it's like, hey, digital downloads, you make the game, boom, you put it up on a server, sell access to it, people can download it and play it. There's no distribution costs other than the space that you're spending to host the file for people to download. It's all money at that point. And it's a revolution that's great. I love it. I wish consoles would get more into it, with doing bigger releases on digital. Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to their more riskier games, like Sega did Vanquish, and they did the one that you got me. Forgot the fucking name of it. The one with the robots you got for me for my birthday.
I do.
Yeah, the Android.
Oh, ones. Binary Domain.
Binary Domain games that are not proven franchises that they don't know if they're going to make money, because they still charge that $60 on every fucking title, and that's where their problem is, because they're like, we charge $60 for every title, even ones that we make no money back on. Well, if you don't know if you're going to make money back on, charge less or just do the digital release, so that way you're not throwing as much money into it with the distribution.
Well, it's a lot smaller investment for me to go online and pick up something. Even like Saints Row, I'd heard a lot about it. I was going to buy a full release, and then a $16 sale. Fuck yeah, wait, I'll spend $16.
Dude,
I spent
Saints 30
Row
on
is
it,
fantastic.
Yeah, I spent on a $30 sales when I picked it up, and it's a great game. It's one that I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like it, because it's kind of campy-ish, and I was more in the mood for something serious. And it's got enough seriousness when you're actually running around trying to survive and do stuff,
that the story's campiness doesn't really bother you too much. It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, the campiness just enhances
it. Yeah, it makes it really funny when you're in a serious situation using a giant dildo to beat people to death. That's fucking funny. it's like a great 80s movie. But the one thing with the console chunks, the sales and crabs, another thing is you got to keep in mind is PC gamers is a very niche audience of people between a certain age, certain whatever, while console is more family room. It's more kids, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers getting on it, cousins come over, the next door neighbors. There's a wider audience that's getting onto the console, while the PC is more somebody who built their system, they built it themselves if they want to be able to do it right, or spend a fuck ton of money on a prefab that just, you know, was
overpriced. Well, I guess what I'm getting at is with PC gaming, I don't think it's dying. I just think it's moving a different direction. And it's not... With PC gaming, it doesn't require the mega system that it used to do PC gaming. Yeah. Like, Torchlight 2 comes out in a month or so.
Yeah.
And that's not good. That'll run on a fucking netbook.
Yeah. But what I'm talking about with the niche thing is I just mean that's why it's such a smaller chunk, but it's still a good chunk. It's because it's a...
Well,
it's
I'm
a
not even saying
thing.
It's a smaller chunk. I think that people compare overall console sales between three major systems versus one. And if you consider a PC a console... It's not doing bad.
No, it's not doing bad. Was it $4 billion you said?
Don't quote
me. No. I'm just saying what you said right now. It's just like...
I would venture to say a fifth of all sales from last year were PC games.
That's not bad when you look at the long run, because, I mean, especially for... And I'm going to continue to say it's a niche, you know, group of people who want to do console, and that's not something that the family... I mean, back in the day when consoles were kind of like Nintendo, like old NES... The family computer kind of was. I remember playing Castlevania on the computer, you know, going off and using the family computer to play that. But nowadays, it's not so much the kid is going into his dad's study to use his, you know, Power Mac to play World of Warcraft, you know.
Well, and it's not all MMOs. I know that MMOs are a big faction of it.
Yeah.
But
MMOs, well, I just brought that up because...
Well, yeah, it's a huge game. Like, Blizzard games are meant to addict people, but other than Blizzard games and MMOs and MOBAs, things of that nature... there are a lot of PC games out there that have a strong community to make the games better.
Oh, yeah.
And to quote somebody that we're friends with, John specifically buys most things on PCs, on his PC, just because he wants to see user-generated content.
Oh, and I agree. That's one of my favorite things, and that's one of the reasons why I buy some of the games I already own on Xbox. I'll buy them on PC. I already own Fallout New Vegas, and I own Fallout 3. I own Fallout New Vegas Special Edition. I bought that when it first came out. But I also own it on PC because there are a lot of, you know, user-generated stuff. There's also the GEG, so you can make your own. Same with Skyrim. I own it on both systems, but I bought it on PC because of there's a fuck ton of user-generated crap you can get that's just astoundingly awesome. Extra quests, undead dragons, they even have the portal mod that brings over the personality cube core.
They have the higher-res textures.
You know, and you can make a helmet out of the personality core. You know, it's fucking fun.
Well, there's things like that. Obviously, it's got you got more speed and power of the PC.
Yeah, and you have the HD skin texture, sorry, the HD texture pack, which looks fucking awesome as shit when you get in
but
there.
Even more so than just better graphics. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more freedom with PC.
But no, I just mean that's extra stuff you can grab. I'm not talking about, I don't care about the graphics in general. I'm talking about that's extra stuff you can grab that's not available for you to grab on Xbox, so...
The other thing is, I think there's that misnomer that everything is played with mouse and keyboard. And something like DayZ, I can understand it, but like Skyrim?
No, it's total controller. I still use controller.
People still use controller on Skyrim. Yeah. People, I have a buddy of mine, Weston, that listens to this show, and he actually set up his 65-inch TV as his monitor for his computer. And so his computer tower sits next to his TV. He flips inputs, puts it on his PC, pulls out his controller, and plays it like his PS3.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fantastic, and... it's fun. I still use controller in a lot of games unless I'm wanting to be a little precise about crap because you know, you can get better hits, sorry, better precision with a keyboard or mouse. But there's some games I just prefer to kind of lean back in my chair and play, like Skyrim, because I'm going to be there a while.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just kick back with my feet up on the desk and play with a controller. DayZ, you kind of ride the corner of your seat the entire time because it's tense at times. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen. But anyways... So that's basically that. We're going to go ahead and leave this topic and jump into some of the crap that we received this week for our things. So we did receive some emails in regards to our question that we had. Let's see here. You sent these to me, but you didn't really tell me who they were from until I get to the end. Let's go ahead and just jump into these. So we got one that's obviously, I believe, from Ian, yes, because he's the only one who introduces us this way. Ian said,
And he hits it to the nasty one, Trenolope, the burrito that has been out of the fridge for a really long time. Yeah, I wonder what that means. And it's probably not safe to eat, but you know your friend from college. What?
Keep reading.
But you know your friend from college. You have that one girl that was hot freshman year, but now has body issues in her late 20s, will probably eat it if she comes over after drinks at the bar with you and your friends. I mean, you all won't judge her, but you will totally talk about her when she drives home with that annoying boyfriend of hers. Victor Freeze. Nice. Yeah, and the sleepy fuck whose head is going to turn into a square with all the Minecraft she has been giving a shit about.
Epic fucking intro.
That's a good one. I like
that. That one was awesome.
It slightly reminds me of the new game we came up with at work, which was, I think you might have heard us talking about briefly, which was we were talking about Spotify and how you can make your own playlists. And I was like, we should make like a whole bunch of playlists and publish them with like the most just ridiculous stuff, like songs to pet your cat to. And Ken, of all people, he didn't want to say it out loud, so he sent it to me on Skype, and it was songs to masturbate to when you forget to lock the door right before your roommate comes in and catches you, and there's that awkward stare. I was like, that would be a great playlist. And then we had, like, songs to watch dogs hump to, just weird crap like that. So we might actually make a game out of it and put it on the Kiwanis social thing. Anyway, here's what he said. Well... Your talk about Lollipop Chainsaw got me thinking last week. If a video game is considering to be a piece of art, then carrying anything placed into a game be considered truly taboo or offensive. Simply stated, art is the quality, production, expression, or realm, according to aesthetic principle, of what is beautiful, appealing, or more than ordinary significance. Then explain Jackson Pollock. Anyways. That was me saying that, sorry. So in the zeitgeist of what is sexy today in 2012, namely a smoking hot blonde wearing a skirt, I think it is clear that Western culture today finds this game aesthetically pleasing. Likewise, in a different historical era, this might not be the case. Think of the Mona Lisa, for example. Am I wrong in thinking games are art? Because if they are, then people need to shut the fuck up and hang the game up on a white background and appreciate it. Yes, I left that open for puns, but I'm serious.
Games as art, I think that's one of those things that's been over-talked about.
Yeah.
I may have brought this up last week, but I think we as gamers tend to over-legitimize our hobbies.
Yeah, we do.
And me as a dude don't always want to think of myself as a overgrown boy, which I am.
It all started with they're not action figures.
You're a big boy.
Yeah, they're not action figures or statues. And yes. Now it's gone to the video games where it's not video games, it's art.
No, that's honestly what it is.
Yeah, I know it is, yeah.
It's just like, you know, you have a poster and you put it in a frame and all of a sudden you're an adult.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing with games. The games are what they are. It's just like movies. I mean, sometimes some things are popcorn and sometimes things are more than that. And so with this argument, games are art, yeah, I think there's something artistic about it. I think there's something artistic about a lot of things, but... It's like you get into a lot of modern music. Is it art? Yeah, it's an expression.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
If you can stick paint in your ass...
Somebody's already done that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And spray it all over a fucking canvas and it's considered art.
There's a girl
Your literal shit is considered art.
There's a girl who dips her boobs in paint and just pushes those canvases. And I look at them and I'm like, number one, they don't look like good boobs. But people pay like $10,000 for this shit.
The actual definition of art. The expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in a visual form such as painting or sculpture.
Yeah. See, I don't agree with his because he mentioned appealing, which is actually an opinion
but
more than
visual.
Visual stimulus.
With imagination, whatnot, is art. What are video games?
Because, I mean, what he really put down was anything placed into a game can be considered art. That simply stated, art is the quality, production, expression, or realm according to aesthetic principles of what is beautiful, appealing, or more than ordinary significance. Now, the problem with that is that expression, yeah, that's fine, according to aesthetic principles. Now, number one, when you look at unconstituted shadowing, that's basically art I like to do, where the shadows that you use don't actually make any sense. I like that stuff. That doesn't fall into the realms of principles because there is nothing there to actually justify why a shadow is there. So, number one, that's what it is. Appealing, that's opinion. So, Ian? No.
So again, I'm kind of bringing the discussion around to what I was talking about earlier.
I just want to give a shit about his definition, like you us. So.
Well, I'm not going to just completely...
He's a teacher. What the fuck? So.
I think he had a fair definition except for the part that it is basically opinion on what is art and what is not.
Yeah, no shit.
And so, really, when it comes down to art in general, I think it's an opinion thing. And with games, I tend to think the reason that people make the argument for our games art is to legitimize their... legitimize your hobby. I mean, it's one of those things that, again, you hang the poster in a frame. Does it make it art? No, it's just another poster. It's a piece of commercial trash that you've hung on your wall. And I do it all the time because I'm a big fucking boy and I'm not ashamed of it. And you get to a point as an adult where you realize that some of the things that you do are just things that you do. I mean, you don't have to legitimize what you do because it's considered immature or childish.
Yeah, I legitimize it when I talk to girls by saying, oh, you know, I work on this, you know, weekly radio show thing we do online. So I have to play these things. That's why I'm ignoring you, baby. It's work. It's work. And they buy it. They buy it.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's why I have a portal poster on. That's why my gigantic Left 4 Dead poster is in the living room. It's work. It's work, baby. So
I think it boils down to, I mean, you have the, you know, the fully grown men that build train sets or rockets.
Possibly fully grown men, you never know, you know.
But I'm just saying, I mean, there are people that have hobbies that would be considered something you did as a kid,
yeah,
that you get way more seriously into as an adult. So, like, whereas you made the shitty rocket at space camp when you were a kid, yeah, now you're making, like, a 4-stage, like, fully functional rocket that will go into space, yeah, as an adult.
You're building, you know, the NC-17, I'm sorry. So you're building the Starship Enterprise in Minecraft. So, you know, you're full replica, 1:1 scale. That's fucking awesome.
That was awesome.
That, I mean, from a distance, it looks great. Up close, you're just like, it's really blocky.
What is
that? Yeah.
But it's, yeah, that's kind of where I take it is, like, as an adult, you look at these things and you're like, well, I'm just way more into things than I was when I was a kid.
It's art for art's sake. I grew up with a guy, my dad, who, you know, very wealthy doctor. He made a good, you know, cut for himself in doing intro plastic surgery and being an osteopathic, you know, doctor. He was obsessed with trains. He had a gigantic train thing. Remember A Mighty Wind?
Yeah.
The guy's train thing? That was him. He's like,
you know, so painting everything
on those trains, you know, and he's like, yeah, this is my world, you know. And he'd have the whole thing set up in the garage. We had like 3-4 fucking cars. They were all parked outside because the garage was the train, and it was a fucking 2-door garage. It was huge, and it was filled with this gigantic train thing. You go near it, you get your ass kicked. So, and that's how I am about my shit. You know, if you go near some of my crap, and you're gonna fuck it up,
some of your toys,
the shit out of you. Yeah, we'll kick the shit out of you. It's like when I dated a girl with a 2-year-old. He broke so much, I got pissed. He's a 2-year-old, though. I didn't yell at him. I yelled at her. I kind of like, control your fucking kid.
Yeah.
So,
but I guess what I'm getting at, and I think everybody kind of knows, that I think we as adults, as we grow up, we try to legitimize the things that we liked as children.
Yeah.
And make them more adult by making them seem to be more mature. Yeah,
it's like Captain
really
EO. Totally awesome.
I know a shit ton of people that are into comic books, and I won't condemn comic books, but comic books have become big again. Where you're not just a closet, you know, nerd in your mom's basement,
yeah,
reading comics. I mean, I know we got comic casts that, you know, we Elseworlds podcast. Well,
when
I
you
mean,
say
they're all comics and they're all adults.
It's one of those things where when you have people defining Archie as a comic book, which it is a comic, it is totally. But when you have people that's their only real familiarity with comic books, it's something like Archie and Jughead. Or BC, stuff like that. The crap they read in the Sunday papers, they don't really understand the full scope of comics
as
Watchmen or Sin City. They don't understand the actual depths that will go to in story to make it so fucking perplexing and interesting and dark and questioning all different types of, you know, the aspects of humanity and duality. They don't realize that they're actually very grown up and serious sometimes. And they're also fucking stupid sometimes. Like, Spider-Man has a lot of fucking ridiculous shit in it, but it also has a few serious moments. You know, Batman, riveting fucking series. You're getting some very dark
shit.
That's
the time of Batman.
You're getting some really dark shit, but you're also getting some lighthearted crap.
See, the way I see that is, there are people that read comics, mm-hmm, like Batman, Spider-Man, X-Men, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there are people that read Archie. Well, there are people that play video games like Skyrim and Gears of War, whatever, anything
Spider-Man,
like that.
Dimensions.
And then there are people that play Facebook games.
That's true. Farmville it up, motherfucker. Just don't question me on my shit.
So what I'm sick of, and I want to bring this to full circle again once we get off the break.
Yeah.
There is a point where we've over-legitimized the things that we enjoy to make ourselves seem a little bit more grown up than we really are. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, that's true, yeah.
I just mean that don't get off your fucking high horse. You know, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And so
don't get off your high horse.
No, fucking get off.
Get off your high horse.
We're all the same fucking breed of sinner. Pretty much is what it comes down to. I have my vices, you have yours. It's all fucking hand in hand. Yeah. It's the same thing.
So, and we had another email, right?
Yeah, we did. And this is going to go into relative to our question from last week, which was about Booth Babes, about their outrage towards Booth Babes and how they must be annihilated in genocidal rage.
Well, where that started with.
That started with E3.
No, not E3.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, it was because...
PAX.
Yeah,
it's
sorry,
PAX yeah. got rid of Booth Babes, basically.
Yeah.
And E3's the only one this year that had them.
Yeah.
So, go ahead with the email, I'm sorry.
And this is from our friend Moonpier. Yeah, Mr. Saul Pemeth. That's an AKA, by the way. See if you can figure out his real name. Anyway, he says, really?
Sweet unicorn.
He commented on our email address first. He said, really, teabag? Really? He said, regarding Booth Babes.
Can you read it like Moonpier?
No, I can't do the British. as hardcore gamers...
Because he would say that really high-pitched.
Yeah,
really?
And I can't throw in twat and cunt between every word, so... as hardcore gamers, we need to accept that gaming is slowly becoming more mainstream. Really? You just now figured that one out, huh? Which means that the companies have to appeal more to mainstream crowds. Call of Duty dude bros. Which is why Dead Space now has co-op, and why I wish I could afford a decent PC to play some new horror games. Amnesia, Soul Survivor, etc.
Amnesia is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a great game. So it's a
Penumbra.
I don't think you've ever even touched it. Have you?
No.
That was the first one I played.
Amnesia is scary as shit anyway.
Penumbra is fantastic, and it has more than one game. There's like two or three of them, so I have them all. They're fucking fantastic. Anyway, he said, but in order to make the most money, all games are headed to the action-packed scene in order to get the dude bro market. And what sells to these people is action, guns, and tits. Try to remember here, folks, E3 is not a press convention. It is a retailer convention, which is true. So it's for the people who buy the things for stores. And when they see guns and tits, they want to buy E3 specifically. He ended that with a question mark. Not for sure. We're just going to have to deal. Moon out. Sent from his new BlackBerry.
Yay!
So, he actually got a phone, finally.
Yay!
Yeah.
So we'll hear more from Moon, I hope.
Yeah, maybe he can finally call the cops on that bitch downstairs who keeps singing horrible 80s songs.
Yeah.
So, but...
I know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
I know, but he doesn't. So,
anyways, what we're going to kind of get to that in the next section, Moon, as to why, because that's going to be a decent discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You going to bring up the answers, or...
That's what I'm saying. Talk a little bit because you sent it all on my Facebook, on my app for Facebook.
And what I forgot to do is tell Holly to pull it up.
If you could have just sent me his email on my email, I could have had everything pulled up at once. But instead, you sent it to my fucking Facebook.
You could have told me. So, anyways,
I thought you would have figured it out. So, but yeah, for Booth Babes, yeah, we will talk about that later.
Now you're gonna cut me off.
No,
fucking douche.
Here is our question: is how do you feel about getting rid of Booth Babes at conventions? Mr. Brewer, who's been on our show before, a long time ago, when we were talking about Cataclysm with the World of Warcraft.
We'll be playing some DayZ with us soon.
Nice. Can't wait to hear that. Booth Babes are a tradition, and being a male-dominated industry, there's no other better way to sell games to them. That's true. Scott McFadden, he said, gotta agree with Matt, sex sells always, has, always will. Granted, they could have some abbed-up guys for the ladies, which they do. They just don't take as many pictures of them, so... Let's see, Mr. Tutro said, what kind of question is that? The answer is no. So,
which Tutro was that?
Yeah, that was Justin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Mr. Roy, the Dave, he said, here's some boobs, or babes, look at our game. We tried putting boobs in the game BMX XXX, and it didn't work, so Booth Babes are probably the industry's best option to use hormones to equate a company's name or product with awesome in the mind or lower of a male.
I like
Dave. He's one of those people that can basically tell you the entire release, the chronological release order of every Final Fantasy original Japanese as well as US, and what order the originals are supposed to be in.
He's also one of the people that can succinctly put four paragraphs worth of things into like one sentence.
Yes, he definitely can. Now, while I pull up the rest of these, since Justin had to be a dick tonight.
I had to be a dick tonight.
Yeah, I do.
You're such a dick, Justin.
I like how we've got nothing but male responses, and so far the males are leaning towards Booth Babe should not be banned.
Well, I think,
surprised by that.
I think we got one more on there.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. But I'm not surprised by it because, I mean,
Well, I'm going to give... Yeah. I want to... With the next section here after the break, I'm going to kind of bring up maybe a reason without sounding like an asshole. And that was kind of the idea. Is I know that there are some people out there that are just hammering to be dude bros.
Yeah.
And I don't want to... We're not trying to appeal to dude bros. We're just trying to appeal to common sense.
Yeah.
And I think there's a... Maybe a false sense of oversensitivity in general.
There's some hand-holding going on.
I think there's some hand-holding going on, and I think it's one of those things that one guy brought it up as a story, and then another guy jumped on that bandwagon, and you got basically a few news sources that everybody kind of reads, and they all kind of copy the same theme. So
now, here's the one from Alex Jolly.
Nope.
He said, I love women, and I really love boobs. Hold on. but I could care less if there are booth babes at any event. Which is a reasonable response. He's like, dude, I could take them or leave them. I really don't care. It's not about the babes. It's about the games. The booth babes are there to help, basically. Push products, display stuff, dress up as characters, and just basically make it a more interactive, fun experience.
But we'll get into our reasons why here in a minute.
Yeah. So that's basically what we got for that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and jump to our first break, and our only break for the night. And we're going to take some turns yelling at Holly. And when we come back, we'll have some news.
We've got to get our chauvinism out of the way.
Yeah.
And we're going to make sure you take off your shoes before you go into the kitchen. And we need...
Shoes are already off.
All right. We need some sandwiches.
She learned from the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need sandwiches. We need beer.
I want horseradish on mine, bitch.
That's right. Yeah, no mayo.
So when we come back, I'll probably have a black
guy. No, I want mayo and horseradish because I want it to be twice as much work for you.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we will be right back. Hold tight. And we are back from our break where we've had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Belittling Holly. She's already pretty little to begin with, so it's kind of hard.
Belittling?
Yeah. I made her belittle.
How do you do that? I mean,
I don't think it's possible.
You take you from like backpack size to fanny pack size?
I guess.
That's pretty drastic.
So. That'd be belittling.
Yeah, but either way, we're back and we're going to go and continue our booth bait discussion now with some actual opinions. Let's go ahead and jump into this. Holly, you being a woman.
Yes.
Let's get your take and be as feminine as possible.
As feminine as possible.
Well, we all know you're kind of a dude, so...
Yeah.
I really am. Like, I have a beard in my new Facebook picture.
That is kind of funny.
Yes.
It's Fear the Beard.
Fear the Beard.
It's for her new audition tape for the gray, too.
Well, I got rid of my beard.
Yeah.
I was trying to look a little more professional.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm waving my hand.
On to that. Sorry, ball.
Booth babes, and we jumped on beards somehow.
So.
Just go.
I think it's stupid that they're not allowing booth babes anymore. I see nothing demeaning in it, just because that's what the guys want to see. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not what they go to see.
Yeah.
But it's something else that's pleasing while you're waiting in line to see another, you know, to play another game.
Well, it's kind of funny when it all comes about with that whole Asus, you know, little gap that happened on their Twitter where they posted a Asian girl as a picture from behind of her demonstrating some Asus technology, some of the new technology to some people. And whoever it is from Asus that posted it said, the front end's pretty nice, but the back end doesn't look bad at all. Because it's from behind. This is Asian chick in a really nice, you know, evening gown. I was just like, oh, wow. That's pretty fucking funny. But it's also really fucking sexist. But they're paying her a compliment. Now, maybe it's not sexist.
I don't see that as being sexist.
But everybody threw a fit.
If they were to say something like, maybe the bitch should get back in the kitchen, then that, you know, that would be sexist.
Being
complimenting someone, even if it does seem...
Yeah. But
I'm going to throw this into the mix. Mm-hmm. So, what about the people that are getting offended? What about the female... And I'm playing devil's advocate here, but...
So,
tapping back into something you barely know. Like the programmers, the female programmers and things like that, that do are part of the industry, and they see this as like an over-sexualization of a certain thing. Can you see it from their point of view, or do you think they're overreacting?
Yeah, if I were to see it from their point of view, I mean, just being myself, I mean, I would say, hey, you know what? Sex fucking sells.
Yeah.
Well,
and majority of the people that video games are sold to are men.
And it's a phenomenon that started happening in the last several years where a lot of female gamers, gamers that grew up with video games themselves, have started, you know, the ones that had the older brothers or whatever that grew up around them have started playing them. And not just Facebook games. There's a poll that came out that said 47% of all gamers are female, and that's not true. I looked up some of the statistics, and a lot of that is based on web surfing, Skype use, phone use, and Facebook games. And so, honestly, the female gaming market, and I'm not gonna stereotype, it is growing, and I'm glad that it's growing, but I don't see it as being 47%. I still see it as mainly a male base, unfortunately, but it is nice to see that more girls are getting into it. Now, bringing it back around to what you're talking about, do you think that the way that people are selling this, specifically E3, just like Moon was saying, it's a press event where people who buy shit to sell shit to people see it and they see guns and tits. Do you think that that's offensive to you? Or
no.
So leading it back around to what I was telling you, Trent.
Yeah.
There are a majority of other products that do the exact same thing.
Yeah, we were talking.
And we're not talking just the frat boy shit. We're not talking about just beer.
No.
There's insurance ads. There's
car, like actual family car ads.
Well, there's the Fiat. If to bring something to light, there's the Fiat commercial that has the girl. They start playing the music or whatever, and the guy sees a girl, like a really exotic looking Italian woman. Mm-hmm. And he starts fantasizing that he's making out with this girl, and he finds out that it's a car.
Yeah.
It's a fucking car ad.
Yeah.
Other trade shows do the exact same thing. So they have girls that are... We're not talking about a string bikini. We're not talking about a striptease while you're...
I think we'll reach the too far point when they start doing sexual Subway ads. You know, for Eat Fresh. And it's a...
Check it in a foot long?
Yeah, it's... That would pretty much be the breaking point where I'm just like, you're going to bitch about booth babes, but you're not going to bitch about that garbage being pumped into your fucking house every day.
Or the Guinness commercial that we saw.
That one's funny, yeah.
That one was awesome.
Well, that was a beer ad, though.
But it was still an epic beer ad. They just showed a girl's back, and she was rocking back and forth. You couldn't see what was going on, but then you see a hand reach from behind her and grab the beer and put it back on her back. Then you see a hand reach from the front and grab it. It's obvious she's being tag-teamed by two guys.
And it says, share one with a friend.
You know? And I was like, that's fucking funny.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, but I didn't hear anybody bitch about that.
Yeah,
I never even saw that fucking ad until now. So.
Well, aside from stuff that may or may not be possibly banned, you can look at places like Europe where sex sells and they're not afraid of sex at all.
Yeah.
And then you look at us.
Or violence. They have a lot of violence in there.
Well, the concept switched there, though. They tend to rate things higher for violence than they do for sex, where you'll find something PG that has a lot of stuff that would be really questionable in a PG here. That in Europe it's not that big of a deal. But violence, on the other hand, is rated way higher. So here the concepts flip because we're mostly a puritanical society, you know, with the whole, you know, religious backing that it is. You see the concept flip where sex is bad, violence is good. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could take it to the next extreme and say, you know, I don't know, I mean, just ban all violence and sex from all events. So on top of the booth babes, let's get rid of all the concept of guns and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, It's been one of those things where people have been getting way more sensitive than they need to. I think there's a tendency among men, especially younger men, and I say this being now getting an older man, I'm not old by any chance, but I have grown up, that you see a lot of younger men take the feminist stance for things, and not necessarily feminist, but just a faux feminist kind of stance.
Yeah.
We need to take up for women because we want to protect women, which in itself, if you look at it from that direction, is sexist.
Yeah.
If I'm going to assume the responsibility of offense for a woman, then I, by that definition, have absolutely made myself sexist. But in a reverse sexist kind of way.
That's true. It is.
I don't know, but then if you look at it like that, then you could look at it in a racist way and say, oh, well, I've got to watch what I say around this person because they're black or because they're Asian. That's also being racist.
Most people do watch what they say around people of other races because...
Things, I know.
You know, it's not
well,
because...
I don't watch as much around you.
Well, no,
because you assume that they're going to get offended by it, which could be considered racist.
And it's not so much because something that you're going to say is racist, you don't want it to be misconstrued as racist. Even though what you're saying is completely benign, you don't want somebody else to take it the wrong way. Like, you people.
So, to kind of focus us even a little bit more than what you're just saying, there's a certain amount of politics that everybody plays, especially in the journalism world, and when something has been deemed bad by one journalist, Nobody wants to assume that responsibility.
Yeah.
Now, we, as people of a completely free podcast, of any kind of advertisement or anything else, don't have that problem. And we don't have the problem with being regarded as unsensitive or anything like that by professional journalists. Maybe some of them listen to us, maybe not. We know that we're not huge like the big few. But we also know that they look at that thing and say, this could potentially make me lose my job, or potentially make such a big stink out of it that
become
everybody...
a pariah.
Yeah, they become a pariah because they take a stance on something. And I'm not taking a stance to be pro-chauvinist. I don't want people to misconstrue that. But I'm taking a stance of not being oversensitive. And that's what I'm trying to get at.
Being practical and reasonable about it.
And with the whole Booth Babes thing, I don't think it's as big a deal as people make it out to be. Now, I think that to a certain extent, it can kind of prey to our male fantasies. And we're looking around a convention floor, and I'm a retailer.
It's not just male fantasies, though. That's not what it is. Whenever I play video games and I play a female character, I want to play a hot, sexy female character. Because I like putting myself in their shoes. I like being able to imagine that I'm that hot fucking chick that's kicking ass.
Yeah.
Well, now, and it's not even just saying that, and I'll bring that up in a second, but just looking at it from a retailer perspective, maybe it is dumbing it down to a mostly male retailer crowd to kind of appeal to their senses. But what gets your... In basic advertisement, don't you do things to catch people's eye?
Oh,
don't
yeah.
you do things that focus people's attention?
Yeah.
There's a pair of tits over there.
About 7 out of the 10 ads that I have to do on... So that we as an office do on a weekly basis involve American flags. Because patriotism is a huge thing. And when you see a nice Jeep Commander with an American flag behind, you're like, God damn, that's an American automobile. You know? And we have a joke about it where we said we should make an app called Add a Flag. Where you can take any picture, because when it comes to car dealers, this is my favorite thing. When it comes to car dealers, you ever want to wine and dine a car dealership into hiring you as a graphic artist? Just put a flag on everything. And they fucking, you can put a flag behind a bald eagle deep throating Ronald Reagan. They're like, that's fucking awesome. And then
it's
like, yeah, that's
America.
You know? America. That's America. And they love that shit. And so I was like, just add a flag. Take a picture of like you in high school, you look dorky shit, add a fucking flag.
And you're awesome.
People are just like, dude, fuck yeah. You know? They're like, America. You know? So, and so it's add a flag program. We also came with other variants. But, anyways, you know, with other
laser
things,
beams.
Other things and flags. But yeah, laser beams, like I had this one I had to do for a metal manufacturing company who makes pumps and stuff for oil. And I was like, oil, that's an American concept. Let's put a flag behind it, an eagle. And I had this steel plate thing with the company's name on it and everything, this big circle eyelet with an eagle head coming out. And it's just, you know, I was like, and I was sitting there looking at it. I was like, you know what this needs? Fucking laser beams. So I had the laser beams, kind of the eagle's eye etching the name into the thing. It's like, you know, And my boss comes in and he sees it and he's like, that's fucking kick ass. And I was like, I know.
Because
he's like,
there's a flag.
Yeah, and he's like, does the customer like it? I was like, they haven't fucking seen it. So they're not going to. This is a joke. And but it goes to that concept of you add tits, add a gun, add explosion, you have a Michael Bay film and it fucking sells out.
Well, add a double entendre because a double entendre sells with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at Duke Nukem.
Well, yeah, I'm not even using that as an example just because that turned into such a fucking pariah for other reasons.
Yeah, but how many fucking double entendres are involved in? Yeah, that's why I brought it up. I mean,
I'm going for more on an advertisement sense, just like you had that. We had a company who's making beef jerky logo, and I won't bring out the actual name, but there was a lot of double entendre.
Oh, the one my client?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one, that one was purpose. It was on purpose, and they even said to me that I asked them when they told me the name of the company about a month after I was working with them branding their company, I was like, tell me, is your parent company, because this is just a DBA I'm working with, is your parent company supposed to be a sexual pun? And they started laughing, going, yeah. And I was like, tell me the story. And they're like, we came up with it at an office party, and it offended quite a number of women, but we're probably still going to use it because we don't give a shit. And I was like, yeah, it would sell because it's sexual. It would totally fucking sell.
Well, and so,
even if it doesn't taste good, people are going to be like, that name is awesome.
Well, the stuff, this is their name of their company, but it's like you could sell something called the 9-inch beef stick, you know, and say that the worth is in the girth. It might not be as long as some of the other ones, but it's thicker, you know. And that's one of the things. I was like, the worth is in the girth. And they were like, oh, that's fucking awesome. And I was like, see, I'm the guy. When you're ready to do your main company, come to me. I will brand the shit out of this, you know?
Well, and I guess what I'm trying to say is don't look at yourself as... This goes back to our earlier discussion from our last bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, just because you put a poster in a frame doesn't make it art.
Yeah.
Just because you like games or just because you like tits doesn't make you less of a man. It's all in how you do it. I mean, there is obviously a chauvinist aspect to some things where you completely disregard women and just turn them into objects.
If you're showing boobs just to oogle boobs, then that's not really art. If you're showing boobs to accentuate the perfection in what you're seeing, even if it's imperfect, when you're actually showcasing the imperfect, I consider that more artful. But
well, I'm not
when
even
you're putting
art,
it out
I'm
there,
just,
I'm just talking about for anything. When you're doing it to showcase what you consider to be a perfection of nature, perfection of man's construction, then it's actually something with taste and it's done for a reason. When you're just doing it because, hey, look, boobs.
Yeah, well, I'm not even bringing it to that point. What I'm talking about is just maturity and how people see themselves as they become older. As this generation of gamers gets older, obviously we want to, again, legitimize what we do. And we want to not cheapen our likes by having these booth bays. But think about how many other things, products that you buy that are sold with sex.
Yeah.
And it's not a new concept. It might be one of those things that at some point people ought to change, but I don't think it's necessarily that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's intrinsic to just games as people are making it out to be.
Well, there's art for art's sake, and there's bitching for bitching's sake. Yeah. And, you know, we're not trying to, like you said, we're not trying to bro it up by going, like, you know, all these people that are bitching are female reporters with body dysmorphic disorder, you know, or just jealous. We're not trying to say that. That's not our take. You know, I don't agree with that whatsoever. But, you know, it's one of those things where there's also male reporters who are bitching about this as well, so it's not that. It's not that case.
Well, obviously, the male reporters are the ones that are bigger on this right now than even the female reporters.
Yeah.
It's just something that came to light in the last week. I brought it up on the show, and I'm not going to take credit for it, but I brought it up, and then I must have just saw a lot of responses from other people on the Lollipop Chainsaw thing, and then I saw it just explode over the last week, and I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
People were getting
exploded
offended.
All over, you know, my face.
Bring it back to that.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I see a lot of people getting upset over something that's not as big a deal as it is, or as they're making it to be. It's another one of those pieces of faux news that people bring to light to make ourselves, legitimize ourselves as adults and gamers, when really we don't need to be identifying ourselves as gamers. It's just people who play games, and it's another piece of media that we enjoy in our free time, such as movies or our cars or anything else.
I enjoy movies. I enjoy cars.
And nobody else makes a big deal about people going to car conventions. I had a Mustang show by my work last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
But it seems that a lot of people make a big deal out of things that they consider selfish acts. Like, if you're really into sex, you're a nympho, and that's bad, and they have meetings for it. If you're really into drinking, that's bad, and they have meetings for it. If you're really into video games, that's bad. They did an episode of Intervention about it. But if you're into something else that doesn't involve you by yourself or doing something.
If I'm obsessively into movies.
Yeah, you're apparently that's bad. You know, it's like, hey.
I don't even know if that's what people ever say that's bad, though.
Well, basically, if you're like,
you're just lazy.
Yeah, if you're lazy, you know, you're just like, hey, what? I like film. I like watching film and learning about new films. You're like, yeah, but you don't do anything with it. Do I have to do something with a hobby
to
make it
worthwhile? My free time.
It's like it's like one of my ex-girlfriends used to give me shit all the time because, like, especially with games, you know, she didn't understand hobbies that are just for the sake of doing it. It's like, I enjoy this hobby, I do it. She's like, well, why don't you make money off it? I was like, why? It's I don't do it to make money, because then it doesn't become a hobby, it becomes a job at that point. The whole point is for me to do it without the stress of anybody expecting something from me. I do it because I like it, not because I want to make money off of it. So, and that was actually in relation to this podcast. She was giving me shit about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But kind of taking this a different direction, because that was our thoughts, and we didn't know if people would agree or disagree. We just wanted people to be a little bit more of an open mind with it and not necessarily jump on a bandwagon that's just been thrown out by major mainstream journalists.
Yeah.
And we read all those people. I think they're fine. I kind of get irritated with journalism in general, where you got one person reports one thing and everybody jumps on the same bandwagon.
It's for me, it's
have
one
your
of
own
things,
mind.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I like that with, you know, make up your own mind, because, I mean, every review that we've ever done where I've trashed a game because it was total shit, I even ended it with, don't take my fucking word. You know, some people will like it, some people will hate it.
Yeah.
I hated the shit of it. Play for your fucking self, you know? But when it comes to the Boost Babes, take them or leave them, I really don't care. I think it's destroying an icon that's been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
You're also kind of fucking over, like, the origins of, mainstream commercial cosplay, with these girls who are showing up in these nice, custom-made...
Tokyo and Tulsa's actually going on this week, too.
Yeah, but they have the nice custom-made, straight-up, you know, provided outfits. They're just fucking astounding sometimes.
You know, I like a lot of the stuff. I think one of the other bitches, and maybe I'll close with this, is Booth Babes not knowing anything about the product. I do have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But if you're hot and you know something about the product, that's just double bonus.
Yeah, it's double bonus. But it's one of the things where you're really going to bitch about hot chicks not taking their clothes off for a change and making money to do it, just promote a product. I mean, fuck her. You know, I mean, well, how about you go and boycott every fucking car wash in town?
Well, okay, so now you bring that up, and now it reminds me of something. Yeah. So I went ahead and I looked through all the top five Booth Babes of E3, which was on the internet as well, just to see how scantily clad they were. And the worst one I saw, the quote-unquote worst one, was Darksiders. Had a bunch of girls basically dressed like the Playboy Bunny, kind of like the one-piece suit or dress or whatever it is, where it's a strapless dress that's kind of got like a, not quite a bikini bottom. But that's all they had.
Well, it's just like it's the corset with the rounded top that go across the boobs, and then it's just that corset, and then you've got the little bikini bottom. That's what it is, and they normally have the tail.
Yeah, and it didn't have the tail, and that was the most scantily clad. I didn't see anybody in a string bikini.
No, you see something like that at a convention for video games and stuff, but then at the premiere of Chicago, you see girls out in the lobby wearing the same thing promoting the film, and nobody throws a fucking fit.
Yeah.
Because that's considered art over what they're doing. I mean, what the fuck? They're wearing stuff to promote a movie that everybody's going to probably end up seeing at some point, where a woman basically murders her husband because she's fucking around behind his back. Well, in the video game, they're just promoting a game that's...
the girl kicking ass.
Yeah, the girl kicking ass. No girls, but in general, somebody being a heroine doing something good, not murdering their husband because they're a whore.
Yeah.
Well, there is that point where there are some that represent a female protagonist, but a lot of them don't have a female protagonist. But I'm just saying what my point is it wasn't that it wasn't it double standard, and it wasn't that big of a deal.
I like your little
double standard. So, but it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, people go out on the beach and dress in a bikini, and nobody gives them shit because whatever, but you go to a convention. I mean, there's all the cosplayers. I mean, we saw a lot of scantily clad cosplayers at the last PAX we went to.
Yeah, it's the American way to... you're going to hear things you don't want to hear. You're going to hear things you do want to hear. You're going to hear things you don't give a shit about. You're going to see those things as well. And for you to sit there and throw such a huge fit because you're so offended about this is basically you're offending other people who believe it's their right to see this and be a part of it and partake.
Next thing you know, they're gonna start saying that we can't dress up on Halloween.
Well, some communities already do that. Some of them don't even celebrate Christmas because it has nothing to do with Jesus anymore. Yeah, my ex-next-door neighbors were just like that. Halloween, they would sit there and just scowl at everybody that walked by. I'm just like, get a fucking life, And
it's just stay inside.
Don't
look at agendas, it if it bothers you.
Yeah, as those agendas move forward and take little bits at a time, you don't notice them as much until they hit something that's really personal to you, and that's when you stand up and say, enough is enough.
I got an idea.
What it's such a small chunk. Nobody listens.
Why don't they do burka babes?
Burka babes. Yeah, it's everybody wear burkas. This is how much product. They don't even talk.
What they can do is they can wrap themselves in a burka and then have the logo put on their back so you don't look at their chest. And then just hold a sign describing the game, and that way they automatically know what's going on. So we'll do burka babes.
Way they don't even have to talk.
Yeah,
that's to totally like a they can have a left field Justin joke there. That was actually surprisingly funny.
So, anyways,
can they be barefoot?
No, because you can't see any skin.
They do have to walk 10 feet behind every customer, though.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, he just got that.
No, I know what you're talking about.
That's pretty funny.
Funny that you mentioned that, because at one of the Nintendo booths, they had the DS's tethered to Booth Babes.
Oh, really? Nice.
But
it's one of those things where...
Because everybody that buys a DS is looking for chicks, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have a DS that are businessmen, so whatever.
Oh, it's a great... I mean, John has one, doesn't he? Yeah. And he's always on the go. It's a good product for people on the go who like those caliber of games, and he's a big fan of the anime games and stuff like that. And that really works for him. It really works for him. He loves doing it, and that's cool. I mean, there's some things on there I kind of like, but, I just don't own one because I can't justify the titles for myself because there's only... very select play.
I have shitty vision, so
it's just
staring
like
at something that small kill me.
It's just like with the Vita. There's not enough titles to entice me over, and they know that's their big downfall. But either way, we're going to jump really quick into
regular news.
Yeah, regular news. Let's go ahead and burn through this. Holly, you got anything?
I don't have anything.
Fuck you, Justin.
Hey, so I saw a little bit on MechWarrior Online.
Yes.
Light, medium, and heavy classes are introduced. MechWarrior Online is looking really good, so I'm pretty interested in it. The graphics look pretty decent. And you also have one life to live per match.
Nice.
So, but
do you get to sit out and spectate if you die?
I don't know. They haven't gotten that far, but it comes out this sometime this summer. It's going to be free to play, and you can buy for extra money to use stuff on your match. Nice.
That is one thing we need to see in more multiplayer games, especially stuff like Left 4 Dead, is straight spectator mode. So you don't actually have to play a game. You can just actually sit and watch people do stuff, because that's just as exciting.
So MechWarrior Online, we'll be checking it out.
Nice. I do have a little thing that came up today. I was sent an email from one of my favorite people and over at Bethesda. And they told me the release date for the Doom 3 BFG edition.
Yay.
And how much it's going to be. What we got going on is, just to recap on it, it's going to feature the remastered versions of both Doom 3 and the Resurrection of Evil add-on pack, which is kick-ass, as well as 7 new levels of content entitled The Lost Mission. It's also going to come with Doom 1 and 2 ported over, which would be kick-ass. It's going to be available in North America on PC for $29.99. And on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 for $39.99. And the release date, North America, is going to be October 16th. And Europe is going to be October 19th.
So different days for release.
Not a bad price, though, you know, when you look at it. I mean, for PC, $29.99.
So I was thinking more $20, but we'll see what it, I'll look at the graphics and...
Well, $30 for the main game redone, as well as the add-on pack, plus Doom 1 and 2, plus 7 extra missions...
Unless they do, unless they remaster it, I don't know if I could justify more than $20. So we'll see.
Well, it's remastered. That's the whole point.
But I've looked at some things and I didn't look as remastered as I wanted it to be.
Nah, we'll see.
And you will go back and forth on that when it comes.
Yeah, I mean, I own Doom 3 on disc still, as well as Resurrection of Evil. But like I said, I love Steam because it allows me to back up digitally copies of games I already own that I bought years ago. So I'm definitely going to be picking up for PC because that's one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
So Doom 3 is fantastic. Anyway, what else you got?
I got a couple of quick pieces I wanted to bring up. Mm-hmm. So, not necessarily the most credible news source, but a good article by Stephen King. So he was quoted on Entertainment Weekly on video game violence, and I'm just going to kind of read this quote. It's a little bit long, but just get your thoughts afterwards. So.
If I don't ADD out.
Yeah, don't ADD out. So, basically, Stephen King wrote this quick bit, and then part of the bit that I grabbed an excerpt from says, "What really makes me insane is how eager politicians are to use the pop culture. Not just video games, but TV, movies, even Harry Potter as a whipping boy. It's easier for them, even sort of fun, because the pop cult always hollers nice and loud. Also, it allows legislators to ignore the elephants in the living room. Elephant one is the ever-deepening divide between haves and haves-not in the country, in a situation guys like Fitty and Snoop have been indirectly rapping about for years. Elephant 2 is America's almost pathological love of guns. It's way too easy for critics to claim, falsely, as it turned out, that Chow Sung Hui, the Virginia Tech killer, was a fan of Counter-Strike. Just wish to God that legislators were as eager to point out that the nutball who had no problem obtaining a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. Cho used it to rampage that resulted in the murder of 32 people. If he'd been stuck with nothing but a plastic video game gun, he would have never even been able to kill himself. Case closed."
Hmm.
So, don't necessarily... agree with the gun law thing, but I also do agree that it's just something for people to pick on. Well, just like Biff Babes.
We just passed our open carry law, so...
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Did you have another news bit, or do you want me to...
Yeah, actually, I got a funny one. I was going to share this to you yesterday, but I was kind of wrapped up and doing some extra work. What does this look like to you really quick? Hold on. What does that look like to you?
Oh, I saw that. Okay. It looks like a penis.
Yeah, okay, this is one of my favorite. You saw this at work the other day. Okay, I thought this was so goddamn funny when I read it, and it just made me laugh so fucking hard, because here in America, we know what certain things look like when we see them. Apparently in China, in the Luisunbu, outside western Chinese city of Xi'an, they basically discovered a strange fungi-like object buried in the ground while they were digging a well.
Fungi.
And they called the news because a town elder, who was basically just described as he's an elder because he's over 80 years old, so they go to him for everything. He came by and said, "I know what that is." And they said, "What is it?" And he said, "It's a mystical fungus that only grows in certain places that an old emperor used to search for, because it's supposed to be a source of immortality." And they're like, "Really? Oh my god, this is awesome." So they call the news. News
and
comes
they got
out.
It in water.
Yeah, they had it in water, and it's covered in a little bit of dirt spots. It looks really, really gross. And I will admit, it looks kind of like a double capped mushroom.
That's what she said. And, but when the team got out there, this girl was taking it so serious on the news. And this is a not too old news.
And she's in her early 20s.
Well, no, I mean the show is not very old. They're supposed to be investigative journalism, hardcore investigative journalism, doing their best to bring the newest, most intense, drama-filled news. And they're doing a report over a mystical magic mushroom that is actually a fleshlight masturbation tool, and they don't fucking realize it. And the guy's sitting there, they're even describing it, go like, well, it's got this pair of lips on the top, and they show it, and it's a straight-up vagina. And it's got another opening on the bottom. And I'm just like, fuck me, dude. And they're taking it so fucking serious. She's like the man's gonna. She reported. She described it as fleshy and meaty. Which when I first saw this, I thought, okay, somebody dubbed over this. Somebody subtitled this, and it was some other story. That I did my research. No, this is real. They really thought this was a mystical, magical mushroom in a bucket of water. And she's going, the man's gonna keep the meaty fungus in his house, and he's gonna take it to an expert in the next coming days to have it analyzed and stuff like that, and we're going to do a follow-up story. And I was like, oh my god, I have to see the follow-up story. And they had to put out a public apology.
Yeah, well, and I sent that out to everyone.
Yeah, I was just like, my fucking god, that is fucking hilarious. If you want to see it, just look at Chinese news.
I'll link it.
Fleshlight. Just finally, there's subtitle ones and non-subtitle. There's one that's actually Chinese news reports about mystical mushroom, which I thought was so great. But that one doesn't have subtitles, so I didn't use that one. But it is one of the best news stories. It's hard-hitting journalism at its best when they start describing this double-orifice fleshlight and mystical mushroom. I just love that. That was one of my favorite things. Awesome. By the way, that was a great story.
Well, I got two real quick ones.
Fucking Chinese people. They invented the goddamn thing, most likely, and they still got it fucking confused.
Theirs probably look a lot better than ours, though.
They probably work better, too. Yeah. Anyways, what's your next one?
Oh, so, keeping the theme with bath salts, as we've been talking about in the incoming zombie apocalypse, I decided I'd do this onion style.
The soapy, sodded zombie apocalypse.
Apparently, people are blaming bath salts, and there was a story of a woman that was in a... I can't even remember. I'll link it later. Anyways, so a woman crashes her car with her kids inside the car. Mm-hmm. After she crashes the car, she goes into a nearby CVS pharmacy, strips down to nothing, and eats some ice cream. They think that it might have been bath salts, but... Nobody really knows. And the thing,
fat?
Because she would have to tell them. Since there's no scientific evidence that they can...
Yeah.
Trace it back.
Well, I mean, she could have been in a state of shock. Who knows?
She could have been really hungry.
But she left her kids in the crash car to go into the CVS.
Record, ice cream!
No, she wasn't well-rounded.
I'm just kidding.
She's actually fairly thin.
Oh my god, no. We need to take... Sorry. We need to take the dog one.
Yeah.
And then do
that. Oh, the one of it biting on the...
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh.
Bath salts. I don't know how you would say bath salts.
Like Barth salts? I don't know. Anyway, okay, so that... So she crashed her car with her kids in it and just left them there and went and stripped down naked and ate ice cream.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable response to a car wreck. If there's a CVS nearby, they're pretty clean.
Yeah.
Not really, actually.
How far did she have to walk?
20 miles.
I know. Okay. It wasn't that far.
As far as you would walk for a camel.
And now, keeping the... In the
1920s, a camel ad said, I'd walk a mile for a camel. It was a joke. You gotta know old advertising, sorry.
So, keeping the theme of shock.
Bad joke.
Yes.
There was a man in Sweden that was apparently a professor, and he thought... He had a wife that was considerably younger than him. And this man thought his wife was cheating on him, so... He cut her lips off and ate them.
Awesome. Wow.
Why would you eat them?
Face lips or vaginal?
Face.
Oh, so he didn't go the way of the Arabs. Okay. So he...
But, so he cut off his wife's lips and ate them. Which is just fucking insane.
Fucking sweet.
She'll still be able to cheat on you.
Yeah.
She still has a vagina.
Well, she may have irreparable damage to her face at this point.
And nerve damage, and I don't know if anybody would have a vagina afterwards.
The shock from that is pretty
extreme.
It's
like in and on with a Cinnabite.
But this isn't like just your typical dude. This is a college professor.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucked up.
Bath salts.
So everything in his PhD told him it was a smart idea to cut her fucking lips off. Okay. You ever heard of chastity belts?
So the one last thing that I wanted to bring up is Remember the tsunami that happened a few years back?
Yeah, how can I forget?
And there were some scams that went on afterwards of people getting memes and different false news stories that people got in the wake of that. And they were sending out emails. Scammers were sending out emails to get your information. Well, apparently the same thing's going on with the whole zombie thing. So obviously people that are interested in the news, you look up, you know, you Google zombie news, basically, and you'll get a bunch of shit. But there's a report going out that some of these fake stories, almost in the same vein as like something like The Onion.
Yeah.
Some of these things also contain viruses, so kind of be careful at what sources you get these things from. Yeah.
Actually, there's about two people I know already. One of them I work with. One of them is my client who's already had their email hacked, and they keep sending out those news stories. And you'll get them, and they'll just be double-linked one after another. It's the same fucking link. It's just continued twice. And if you click on it, it will take you to a news story. The one I heard about was, I think, some weight loss thing. And because I didn't go to the address, I did a search for the address to see what it was about. And there was a report that whenever I received it from one of my clients that just basically told me that it was some weight loss thing that was a virus built into the webpage because it downloads into your temporary internet history and therefore it's on your computer.
But more so than just that, it's more than just that. If you get the zombie news feeds in your email, don't click them. And honestly, it just from one nerd to another, all of you guys, just know that email's where the majority of viruses get into your computer.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, never open something that doesn't have a no subject. Like, it doesn't even say no subject, it's just blank.
Never download an attachment from somebody you don't know, and from the people you do know, make sure you know what the hell it's about.
Yeah, be careful when you click links.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clear out your internet history quite often when you can, because even if you do download something, it might be defunct, it might not be working, but you still have it in there.
Well, so,
and that does actually happen quite a bit. You'll find viruses inside your temporary internet history that just don't work.
but the reality of that is people just hack SMTP servers and they just, so SMTP being a basic mail server through Outlook or any other numbers of things, but people hack that and send these things through other things, which is why you'll get emails from friends like ours that send these random links, and that's what's happening. But anyways, that's pretty much all the news I have. Did we have like...
Yeah, I got another. I found this one kind of funny in this day and age, from a company who's already received so much shit for their questionable ethics and motives. Apple, and for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, their reaction to a prototype of their iPhone that got kind of lost, how they basically seized property and invaded a man's house who worked for a review site and all that crap. By the way, there's other things they've done too. But Apple products, Apple refused the sale of iPads to two individuals, two different situations, who just happened to be Iranian in descent. So a girl was inside of a Apple store, and she was purchasing an iPad, and she was speaking in Farsi to a friend of hers, and the clerk who was helping her, who was going to sell it to her, asked her where she was from, and she said, "Well, I'm Iranian." And he told her immediately he could not sell the product to her, that she could not have an iPad, and that there's an embargo that Apple has put on Iran. And even pulled it up on their website to let her see it. She tried to go to another store to buy, and they still told her the same thing. So she went to the news, and the news came in there with a cell phone and recorded it and saw the whole thing happen again. Total bullshit. And not just her, it happened to another one. And this was a college girl. You know, just a regular college girl. She's actually from America. She just happens to be Iranian in descent. She was buying the iPad for a relative who lives in Iran, but the store didn't know that at the time, and they still refused to sell it to her. Another individual from the same area was trying to buy one for with his friend who was Iranian, or from that area, who, from my understanding, just didn't know English very well. And he spoke Iranian as well, or Farsi as well as English, and he didn't even look Iranian. He's very white-looking. But he was trying to help his friend buy an iPad, and they refused to sell it to him as well. Now, Apple's policy is basically they do not want to supply Iran directly or indirectly with Apple products. This is a embargo that they placed. That they said the clerk mentioned it being something to do with the government putting it down, but the government does not have an embargo technically. So it's kind of a bullshit policy. And if you look at their shit, it says that they have embargoes with Sudan, North Korea, Cuba, understandably, although I think that's outdated and needs to go away, and Iran. These are people who are college students who
just need a basic device.
Who need a basic device, or they're buying one for a family member. They're not going to... I mean, I think it's bullshit to say we don't want to sell products to people who are going to be taking them to Iran because we don't know what's going to happen when they get to Iran. What about every single CNN reporter who has an iPad, iPod, iDock, iFuckingShuffle, or whatever, you know, who travels there to do news? They're bringing Apple products into a country you have an embargo with, but just because they're white, you let them get away with it. And whenever the girl contacted the Google Corporation over phone, she was told that Apple told her they apologized for the whole thing, said she could buy one online, that it was fine. So why would the store deny her the sale, but then corporate says, oh, no, it's okay, you can go and buy one, basically to avoid a PR nightmare, because she went so far as to call corporate as
well. Well, it's already a PR nightmare, so.
Yeah, so they're trying to wash it over. But it's still bullshit. I think that's probably one of the most offensive things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm Eastern Indian. If I spoke Hindu, you know, Hindi, and walked in there and was speaking, would they fucking mistake that for whatever and just say, well, we just can't sell one to you then? Now, I find it personally offensive. I'm not Iranian, but kind of the same
thing. But your ancestry is of a different culture than traditional.
Yeah, exactly. So I find it really fucking offensive. In fact, most people in America should find it offensive because we're all a little bit mixed here and there. We all have friends who are different cultures as well. And, you know, imagine if you're in an Apple store with your friend and, you know, they're, you know, you're with them, you're going, hey, for your birthday, I'm going to buy an Apple iPad. And then say, oh, no, you can't buy it for them. They're fucking, you know, they're
Iranian.
Yeah. Well, I was going to think of some horrible fucking slang, but yeah, you have to use in the context of proving a point, not to be mean. But, yeah, it's one of those bullshit situations, and fuck you, Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Take a bite out of my ass. So, what are your opinions on this entire thing?
I think it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. What about the backpedaling of corporate? Saying, oh, it's okay, you can buy one online. Even though it's on their fucking website, underneath their guides, or I read the whole thing. Well, it's just two little paragraphs. They don't, no real explanation. I'm like, because our countries have bad relations, we don't want to sell shit to you.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. And I think that it's just, it's a company that's making a stance on something of unsubstantial. It's one of those things where they have an embargo against a particular company.
That's not even government. Yeah, the only one that's actually government certified is like Cuba.
Like like the only thing that I could see is if you're that worried about it, don't ship them over there to stores, but to people that live here.
Yeah.
If you really want to do that, just
It's segregation.
It is segregation. There's no way. I can't really play devil's advocate on this.
It's going back to the white and black drinking fountains. You know, it's basically like, you know, it's segregation to a point. It's modern day cyber segregation. It's so fucking ridiculously stupid, outdated, and pretty much just offensive to the moral sense of anyone. It should be. I mean, I don't care what nationality you are or what viewpoint you are, unless you're just a complete redneck racist, that you should find it offensive that our country, a company that basically has more money than our fucking country does, is pulling this shit in our country. But they're pulling this shit in our fucking country where they're saying, like, oh, well, we're going to be selective as to who we sell to because we don't like your people or our governments have problems with each other.
But we're an equal country.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the governments that are having issues and not the people that are having it. That's the one thing I always hate. Governments do not fucking represent the sum of the people's opinions. It represents itself. Learn that fucking fact and stick with it. Just because you're at war doesn't mean the people who live there totally agree with it. Just like Vietnam, a lot of people oppose that. A lot of people fucking supported it. But it doesn't make everybody a fucking evil-ass American who wants to destroy your way of life. You know, same thing with fucking Middle East. It's not what you think it is. Don't take it at face value. But it's really insulting, and it's kind of pisses all over the constitutional rights of everybody for life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and the rights
somebody's a legitimate American.
Products.
Yeah.
They should have it in the Constitution. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and the ability to own Apple products.
Well,
for everyone.
Don't own it. Listen to us on Zoom.
Or maybe now you just don't even fucking bother with them.
Go out and buy yourself a fucking Zoom player.
Yeah, well, we're on Stitcher, so there you go.
Yeah,
that works on Android.
Yeah, go get an Asus so you can enjoy the front and back end. But
that's our question.
That's our question. Yeah, what's your opinion over this stupid Apple? What's your opinion over Apple's policy to not sell to people from certain countries? Just because in nationality, not just because they're from there, just because their nationality is Iranian or whatever. I mean, does that mean if a Cuban immigrant comes in that store, are they
somebody from Cuban descent?
Yeah, North Korean guy walks in. There goes most of their fucking. How can you tell? You know. I mean, most people cannot tell the subtle differences between North Korean, South Korean, or even Chinese from other races. You know, I mean, are you going to have to sit there and ask them straight up? So, You ever been to Korea? When you're trying to sell them an Apple product.
People of Mexican descent.
I know, that's fucking bullshit, because a Spanish guy walks in or a Mexican guy walks in and they go, like, you ever been to Cuba? You know, it's questions I should not have to answer if I'm trying to buy a product. They should be kissing my ass to buy their product, especially for $1,000 a pop for the high ends. I'd be like, you know what, for $1,000 you can ask me jack shit.
Well, what if these people just automatically said that they're American?
Doesn't matter. She said, I'm from America. I was raised here. She's just, I'm Iranian descent. They didn't know she was buying it for a cousin. The other dude was in the store with his classmate.
Yeah.
He was helping purchase the product because he didn't speak English very well. They don't care if you're from here, or even if you were born here, just the fact that you are Iranian, there's a chance that it might end up back over there and be used to plot out bomb attacks. You know what? Everybody uses HP, Dell, laptops, crap like that to plot their terrorist attacks. You don't see them refusing to sell to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you blame it on the government, saying, well, it's a government thing. No, it's your fucking stupid-ass racist bullshit thing. So
we have a couple of quick things.
Yeah.
I wanted to do game releases real briefly.
Yeah, go for it.
This week you had Civ Gods and Kings come out, which I didn't
get. Looks
good. I'm going to pick up eventually.
Yeah.
And we had Steel Battalion that released to a shitload of bad reviews, which I'm really sad about.
Bummer.
So, try out the demo. See what you think.
Yeah.
Next week, though, you do have a couple of things that you should check out. If you like the Penny Arcade Final Fantasy, classic Final Fantasy style of gameplay.
The Raid Slate Precipice.
Yeah, well, they've done another game.
Yeah.
So that's coming out next week on Xbox Live, as well as PC. You also have the new Walking Dead
episode
coming out for $5. And then for those of you that are into this kind of thing, there is Spec Ops. It comes out next week, which I'm sure a lot of people will be picking up.
Yeah.
Other than that, we had our gauntlet, and what are we doing, Holly?
We're going to do Gears of War 3.
Yeah.
Not this week, but next.
Yep.
Yeah.
Giving you guys enough time to prepare, and for those of you that don't listen right before Saturday, it gives you some time to pick it up.
Yeah, also for those of you who did not hear on the previous episode, we have dropped gauntlet down to two times a month. So, this next one will be on the 29th.
Yeah.
Which means that the following one is not going to take place until the 13th, just to give you an idea of the math, for those of you who are lazy.
So
that would be me.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, of course, we have plugs. Who do we plug?
You're getting hair plugs?
I'm getting hair.
Fuck you.
No, we have our awesome friends at bmfcast.com, Bad Movie Fiends.
Yes, we do.
We have their other cast, noquarters.net.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be on a episode of Elseworlds podcast tomorrow night.
Okay. Awesome.
Talking about games that relate to comics. Fun guys they are. You also have TVGP.TV. They do good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have Extra Play.
Extraplay.info.
Mm-hmm.
We also have
The Carousel.
The Carousel Podcast. Our friend John and Scott. And
Dynamic Soundtrack.
May they rest in peace.
Yes, but go listen to them. Do they still host the files?
Still hosting the files.
Yeah, and then we have No Quarters.
I already said no course.
Oh, you said no course. Okay. I think that's about it.
So, anyways.
Now, we also have the Extra Players. Forgot. Yeah, that's a new one. Sorry. Hosted on extraplay.info/extraplayers. Go check that out.
And so, with that, we're going to go ahead and close this out. And we will see you guys next week.
Yeah, check you guys
out. See you later.
Later.